Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. Hang on a minute. Are you out there with you? All right, welcome everybody. We're here. We are here. We made it. Looks like Blog Talk's fixed for now. Thank God for that. Right? Makes it a lot easier for me. I tell you, I'm spoiled rotten. When Blog Talk's not working, I'm like, let's go on a vacation or something. Wow. Unbelievable. All right. So thank God it is working on. I'm excited about it. Water. All right, make sure and drink your water. Do not get dehydrated because you'll think you're sick or something. You think you're the demons are attacking you. All it is, most of the time your brain needs a little water to function. Don't forget to put a little bit of brain food in your brain, specifically feed your brain what it needs, right? That way it'll work better for you. All right. Okay, now where do we go? What do we do? There's been so much happening. It's just been unbelievable. So I'm trying to figure out where do we go from here? What do I reveal? What do I, expose, as far as, things that the enemy's trying to do. By the way, I'm doing our books right now. I'm doing pretty good. I should have y'all's documents to you pretty soon. Or yearly statement, and working on those. Thank God Judy had a system set up that pretty well makes it easier. You just figured out her system, right? That's what I'm trying to do. So it's really working out well, and I'm really grateful that I have something to go by, because if I didn't, I don't know what I'd do. I am actually coming up with a lot of creative ideas on how to do it my way, right? But thank God I have something to go by. It really helps a lot, a whole lot. Thankful for that. She did the books for years, and I never paid attention to any of it, right? Now I am. I'm the main man now. Yeah, I can cook the books. Or just make cook. I don't know. Something like that. Anyway. All right. I'm just playing. So what's on your mind tonight? Yeah. What's on your mind tonight? All kinds of things going on. I'm just trying to figure out where I want to go. Some of it. And see what's happening. What the Lord wants to reveal. And when I say expose, I mean expose. Things going on. I used to keep things to myself. I don't share them unless it's necessary or going to help somebody or God wants me to reveal it. Like the whole thing we did about the Osage Indians and my family and all that. Nobody really knew anything about that. I didn't put all that together like we did, but the puzzle piece for that was amazing. And I revealed a lot of things, not only about my calling and the purpose, especially the financial mantle, the transfer. I heard somebody say, and I've said it many times before too, that if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. So in other words, when God gives you something, are you giving God what belongs to him? And then are you able to give money to people maybe you don't like? Are you able to do whatever God tells you with the money? Right? It's a big test. A lot of people go through that, and, we all fail at first. A little bit, and then we learn and we grow and we learn. So if God can trust you to get that money through you, then believe me, you just don't give it all away. You get to keep portion. Like when Peter was told by Jesus to go he needed to pay his taxes, right? And Peter had taxes and Jesus had taxes. And he says, you know, going to go catch a fish, and then fish is going to be some coins, and you're going to pay not only my taxes, but you're going to pay your taxes. So it's like, if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And that's really a big thing. It's a big test thing that I've learned. Like I said, with the gold and silver thing, when God first told me what he wanted to do with it, you know, I didn't ask him, and he didn't ask me. He told me what we were going to do. I never forget it. And I was at the gym, and I came on the show at night and told you all about it. And so I just didn't know how it was all going to work. And, the enemy has all kinds of things he wants to do to counteract things, but it's just not working at all. You know, just like the days of Moses when they came out of Egypt. And they came out with the gold and silver. Believe me, the system people didn't like it, and they came after them. And we're going to have some of the similar same things, except the cool thing is that, you know, just it's amazing how that when you read the Bible about how the children of Israel acted and did things, it's just like what happens today. Same thing, exactly. Oh, my God, you think we're all going to die out here? They're gonna come get our gold and silver and take us back. What's gonna happen, brother prophet? Right? I mean, come on. And it's very real. I'm not saying this it's necessarily bad. It's just very real how people think the same way. I mean, exactly. And me, you, us, them, you know, just people in general. And you start realizing that a lot of the struggles that Israel went through, you know, it's not just Israel. It's us. They were human beings, first of all. They were Israel. Second of all, I think, and they were human beings, first of all. So they responded out of, you know, oh, my God, they're going to come get our stuff. And get it. Yeah. We thought we were out of here now. We got the gold and silver. We're on our way out. Oh my God, there they come. They're coming to get it. You know, you think you're going to win, brother prophet, man? You think, you know, just bring us all the way over here just to tell us all this stuff, and now it's all going to fall apart? I mean, sounds like the Bible, doesn't it? It does. And Moses got angry, and sometimes, you know, I get angry, you know, about some things. And, you know, I think it's just a learning lesson. It's something that we're all human beings, right? And we go through things. The thing is, we try to act like, I would never think that. I would never believe something like that, Brother Chandler. I'm a true faith person. I have all the faith in the world. Going like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. I've heard so much of that nonsense, man, all my Christian life, you know, I just, oh, dear God, I ignore about half of what people tell me, you know, just try to forgive them, and it's like, hey, they're growing, they're learning, they'll be fine. Because you know what? I had to do the same thing. Yeah, so you know, just read the Bible, how the children of Israel acted. You're going to find yourself acting the same way. And so when you do, don't ignore it. Don't lie about it. Don't say, I never did. I never would. Because there you are doing it, you know. Repent of it. Let it teach you that, you know, you need help. We all need help. You know, this isn't just some are righteous and some are unrighteous. We're all human beings. And everybody has human nature. And we think kind of the same thing. You know, we've been used to something for so many years. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like we're having a breakthrough. And then, oh, my God, you know, you think it's all going to fall apart now. And what if, you know, what if? And that what if thing just starts eating people's lunch, man. Pretty soon they're like asking me stuff. I'm going like, I don't even want to answer that question because, you know, and I get mad sometimes too. I get angry too. Just like, I understand. You know, and you know, some of you are in, sometimes you're in Moses' position, right? All y'all. And sometimes you're in the sheep's position. You know what that's like. You have children. You're the parent, you know, or you have, you know, whatever. So we all are all those things at different times. So we can understand how Moses felt, you know, when our children sometimes just like, Mommy, Dad, you think we're all going to die? Or whatever the thing is. You know, think we're going to make it? Are we going to have to move out into the street now? Daddy lost his job? You know, I mean, it's just, and then, you know, it's just very real questions, and we need to, you know, wake up and realize that we're all human beings. And sometimes human beings, grown-ups, will ask doubting questions just like Israel did, and the same with me. So I think the sooner we get a hold of that, it would be a bunch of arrogant, pompous, you know, we got it all together, we know everything, and we never make mistakes. We get out of that little thing, and we start being able to learn from our stuff. Then we're going to grow and go past it. It's not we're going to be like the children of Israel in the wilderness. The biggest problem with them, I think, was like us sometimes. They just make the same mistakes over and over again. You know why? Because they don't come to repentance of it. I didn't mean that. No, I didn't know. I wasn't. Not, yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. You meant it. That's exactly what you meant. You were doubting. You were questioning. You were freaking out. Oh my God, what is this? Yeah, and the more we're dishonest about it, you're gonna go around that mountain one more time. And that's why we try to share around here the things that I've learned about. You know, when you mess up something, don't just fake it and act like you never said it. That's a lie. It's a lie. Just repent. Get it right. Be like the Bible. You know, David did some monstrous things. King David did some monstrous things. You know, he oh my God, he became a murderer, an adulterer, and, you know, tried to hide it and tried to use his kingship to, you know, dominate and, you know, send people to their death because, you know, they wouldn't do what he wanted them to do. You know, I mean, that's what he did. He became a Hitler for a few days, for a few months. He did. That's what happened to him. And, you know, to a certain degree. And he's killing people. He's killing innocent people, you know, to hide his, you know, to, you know, whatever. And so we got it. That's why all of this is in the Bible. So you and I will look at it and go, yeah, man, you know, I could do that same thing myself. So how do you overcome it? By acting like you never said it, never did it. It's like David was doing until the prophet came up on the scene. You know, I've had some things God exposed me about before, like when I was trying to, like, be all that and, you know, act like I never did anything wrong. You know, that's why I confess my sins right here on national, on our little bitty network, you know, because, you know, I'm learning, and I hope you're learning the same way. If you're not learning, you're going to fail. If you don't learn, you fail. Well, don't prophesy that over me that I'm going to fail, Brother Channel. Well, when you go to school and you don't learn, what do? You fail. You fail. You don't learn what 2 plus 2 is. You still got 2 plus 2 at 10, and it's not 10. It's, see what 2 plus 2 you got, 4. 4. And you keep writing 10 on your test because you just know that's what it is. Because when you add it up, it's you know, a better way. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. You fail. I fail. Everybody fails. Why? Because with the test that we go through, show us whether we're learning anything or not. The test, just like in school, man, not any different. The test show you whether you're learning anything or not. Right? Let's look up that scripture. I did not plan on going here tonight, so I'm kind of a little surprised. So hang on a second. Let me look up something. All right, Deuteronomy 8. I think that's where we're going to go. Let me make sure I got that right. Yeah, I think Deuteronomy 8 is what I want. Let me go there in a second. I'm just spontaneous. Spontaneous is the CPE in it. Is that a word? Spontaneous is the CPE. I don't think so. Go to Deuteronomy 8. I think we're going to learn something here. You know, we got to quit acting like we're all that. Sometimes, you know, when we're not. Right? Yeah, we got to stop acting like we're when we're not. Okay, let's go here. All right, here we go. Deuteronomy 8, Verse 2, we're going to see. We're going to get something out of this, I know. All right, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Verse 1, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore your fathers. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years into the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger. He humbled you and allowed you to hunger. Oh, but Brother Chandler, you don't know God. That's a mistranslation. God would never allow us to go hungry. James, you ever heard Brother Copeland teach you? God would never allow that. He's a good man, and he would never allow such a thing. He would never do that to his own kids. How could a good father do that to his own children? He can't. He won't. It must not. But he did. God did it, and he did it just like he does today. Same thing. So if you believe that nonsense, like I used to, like I tried to, you know, I realized that, hey, it says right here. Why does God take us through things? Why do we find ourselves freaking out? Oh, my God. Brother Chandler, you think that, you know, you get somebody can, you know, what's going to happen with all the stuff and all the things, and what if happened, you know, what's going to go on with all this and that and the other, and what about this, and what if this happened, and what if that? Good, not bad questions, but, you know, why are you asking? What's going through your head? Because you're freaking out, right? And you're, you know, whatever you're doing, you're freaking out, and God's testing you to see where your heart's at. And once you reveal where your heart's at, don't deny it. Don't lie about it. Just say, yeah, okay, so, you know, I did that. That's, because if you don't come to grips with that and start learning from what you go through, he humbles you and allows you to hunger to see who you're going to trust. Well, but what if, you know, what if that, are you trusting God? Are you trusting Brother Chandler? Are you trusting PGN? Are you trusting your church? Are you trusting your favorite teacher, your favorite prophets? What are you trusting? Where's your heart going? Where's your mind going? You get a little eye on some money, and you start getting your eye on worrying about what that money where that money's going to go. You get your eye on, you know, some relationship, and you wonder what's going to have that relationship. Try to start manipulating the control in the relationship so you can make sure you keep it. Yeah, I've done that. Been there, done that. Been there and done all this stuff. But you know what? What began to help me overcome and move forward was I admitted it. I didn't sit there, no, I never did, because it was embarrassing. It was humbling, humiliating to say, yeah, I did that. Did you learn after a while? I said, verse 3, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. So he humbled you. He humbled you. Oh, Brother Chandler, God would never humble us. We must humble ourselves. So it can't be a right interpretation. It's a mistranslation. No, I think it's just exactly what it says. He humbled Jim. What was he trying to do? He was trying to get Egypt out of them. They're going to the promised land. They're going to a place of blessing. And when it looks like, you know, what's going to happen with the money? What's going to happen with my relationship, with my husband, with my wife? What if she commits adultery? What if my husband, you know, lies and cheats on me and does what? What am I going to do? What am I going to do then? Well, there's nothing wrong with asking that, but where's your heart at? You know, God's going to sometimes allow you to go through some hard stuff, and he's going to allow you, verse 3, allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna. Why was he doing all that? Because he was trying to break us from the addictions of what we've been used to living with. You know, all the spicy food, all the thing, you know, and as far as Egypt goes, I'm talking about Egypt and food. You know, they were brought into the land of into the wilderness to withdraw them from Egypt. You know what? When you get withdrawn from Egypt, you're going to act crazy. It's like an alcoholic getting free of his alcoholism. You know, you don't want to be letting them document what you were like when you were coming out of your addiction, because it's going to make you look like you're a trash can full of trash, you know, the way you act when you come out of your addictions and whatever. The same thing with Egypt, friend. You know, some people start coming out of it, they start getting their eye on a little bit of money, they're going to get a little bit of money gone. And then they start worrying, like they're going to worry about it. Like now all of a sudden, now they're not worrying about it and wondering what's going to happen to it's going to change anything. Like, you're going to control it now? I don't think so. You're going to worry about it now? Yeah, that's a manifestation of an area in your life that God's dealing with you, and he's trying to help you. I'm trying to condemn you. I'm trying to hurt you. Sometimes God deals with us in some pretty ruthless ways. Why would God be ruthless enough to allow you to hunger? And then fed it with manna. So when they got the food, they didn't get the food from Egypt, right, with all the garlic and the leaf and all the stuff, nothing wrong with garlic, right? I mean, we all like garlic. So they were going through withdrawals. So anytime I'm going through a hard time in my life, God usually is taking me through something that when I'm used to one thing, now he's going to bring me to something where he's going to make me do without that. And I could talk about a lot about different things I've been through with that. And some of it I did good on. Some of it I did sorry on. Some of it I had to go through the, over, around the mountain. I don't know how many times. Yeah. Some of it I went around the mountain one time. That was all it took. Other things, yippity-doo-dah, yippity-day. I kept going around the mountain. Yeah, all along the way. Till one day I realized, oh, my God. Yeah, I need to get that out in the open, get that, you know, that thing in me that wants to control and make sure that now that I know I'm going to, you know, get my inheritance, like, you know, what do? Do I go after it? And sometimes you go after things. Sometimes God allows you to go after things. That's why I love the story about David. When David was, you know, they came, his army was out fighting, and they came back to the camp, and the enemy had gone in there and stolen their stuff and their family and their kids. And, you know, David had a heart for God because you'd think you'd just be natural and just go after your family. I mean, it's my family. Why would that even be a question you'd want to ask? He obviously knows that's what you're going to do, right? If you're truly a good man, if you're truly a good daddy or a good husband or a good father, you're not going to go to the priest and say, oh, priest, oh, ask God if I should go after my family or not. Or just maybe you can just bring me a new one. Right? Hey, a decent question, right? Hey, that's what David did. Yeah, you know, priest said, yep, go after him. Urim and Thummim. Got to go, like. So David gets up and he goes after him, man. So sometimes you go after it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you offer up Isaac and you get to stop right into when you're fixing to do it. And sometimes you have to do it. Jesus went through that at the cross of Calvary in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went through that very thing. Yeah. He goes in there and it's like, Father, can this cup pass from me? You know, in other words, can we do the Isaac thing? You know, where I'm willing to do it and I do it in my heart, but you know me, I'm willing to do it, and I believe God knew he was willing to do it. I believe in God's heart, Jesus had already done it before he ever did it. Because when he was saying, not my will, but thy will be done, he was saying that it's done. Sometimes things are done before they're done. It depends on your heart. And Abraham's case with Isaac, he offered him up. Amazing. He did it in his heart. And he just had the knife right there. And the angels, could you imagine being Isaac and watching the terror of your father? Maybe, I don't know if he closed his eyes or what, but probably not. Now, that's amazing, y'all. Yet God considered it, look in Hebrews, it says, God considered that Abraham did it. That's why he told Abraham, I just wanted to see if you'd do it. Well, sometimes you have to go through with it. Sometimes you have to do it in your heart, and it has to literally be like right there, and then right at the end, God says, no, don't touch him. You know, so whatever God wants to do, it's like with Jesus, he said, you know, I don't know that he would, I don't have any proof that he was talking about the Isaac thing, but I think he was talking about the Isaac thing. He said, yes, I'm willing to do it, not my, three times. He convinced the Father, and the Father knew his heart. When Jesus said, I got some really good ideas. Can this cup please pass from me? You know, I'm willing to do this, God. You know I am. I'm born to this. I was born to give my life. And the Father, obviously, in that particular situation, which is sometimes with us, no, you're going to have to go through with it, son. You're going to have to go through with it. You're going to have to literally, physically shed your blood. You can't just do it in your heart. I think Jesus did it in his heart, and the third time he had done it in his heart so much that when he did it in his heart, it was already done. Sometimes things get done, friend. Like when I tell people the golden tool thing, I mean, that was the done deal. In my heart, it's done. There's no, I'm trying to get some of it, and, you know, I'll find a way to get some. I don't even want any of it. Honest to God, I know you may not believe that, and most of you probably do. I think there's a few people who are going to have it very questionable, like, you know, maybe you can take what – you know what, honest to God, seriously, before God I stand, I don't give a rip about that stuff. I got one thing on my mind, period, and that's doing and going where I'm going and what I'm doing. That's all I got in my head. I have to sleep in the street, which I don't want to do, if I have to do a hundred, whatever thing, if that's what has to happen, then so be it. Who cares? I got one thing on my mind, y'all. That's it. And nothing going to distract me. Nothing. Nobody and nothing. I've been tested too much, just like some of you have. I've been going through some wilderness stuff, just like you all have been. Sometimes I do really good. Sometimes I do really sorry. And thank God he gives us another chance after chance after chance before we get another chance to start over again. Thank God for that, because I have messed up. I've worried about the money, just like everybody has worried about it. I have worried about relationship and try to control it and take control of it and fix it and do everything that God didn't want me to do. Because I just thought, yeah, I don't want to lose that thing. Yeah, I've tried it all. I've done it all. I've messed it all up. That's why I can be a great high priest, or maybe a low priest. Not a high priest, but a low priest, under Jesus priest. You know, that's what I mean. Because I've been through some stuff, man. I've been through some stuff, and I understand some things. I know why people sin the sins that they sin, sins that I would never sin, sins I never even wanted to sin. They did it because they have it in their DNA. Once you understand that, you become a great high priest or a low priest or an in-between priest. You become a great priest because you start realizing that you consider yourself and all those things, and then you understand that when things are in the bloodline, you know, people turn into alcoholics because they take one drink. I mean, who could ever condemn anybody? If somebody turns into a sexual pervert because they have one sexual encounter, or somebody molests them, or somebody, you know, whatever, and that one thing connects into a perversion that they live with for years, people just call them, you know, and I've called them perverts before. They call them perverts and creeps and all that, and it is pretty creepy, and it is very definitely perverted. But when you start thinking about where that came from and how that got in there, and that they feel like a helpless, hopeless alcoholic in that bondage, you learn. You know, I'm not going to condemn them, because I could be the same thing. I could find myself doing the same. And that, friend, when you start learning that and growing, I've learned this stuff for you. I've taught it for years and learned it many years ago, thank God, so I could start applying it to my life little by little. Where you have a hard time finding any room to condemn anybody for anything. I don't care how perverted it is. Just because you don't never want to do that, because you don't have that in your DNA, doesn't mean that other person, it wasn't cooked up in their genes. And if it had been cooked up in your genes, you'd have been doing the same thing they're doing. So how can we ever condemn somebody for what they've done? It ought to release in us, in our hearts, forgiveness and being able to say, you know, you're forgiven, you're released, and pray that God will change their blood. Then I tell you, friend, if your blood don't change by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the word of God, in the name of Jesus, of course, in Christ's name, all things are done. What he did on the cross, that's where you acknowledge him. When you cry to Jesus, the one who died on the cross, born of the Virgin Mary. When you confess all that, you're connecting to him, and you don't have any hope about that. How can we as people ever, I could never condemn, like when I exposed sin in my family, I did it purely out of compassion. Yeah. And it was such an addiction in that family situation that, you know, who could ever condemn those people? I never condemned them for it. They didn't understand that, but, you know, so it created a lot of problems. So you just like, you know, having an alcoholic issue going on, you know, people become hopeless. The alcoholism's in our family. You know, we can't seem to stop it. You know, who do you think you are to come along and say it's sin? It's just a problem. It's not a sin. You know, I had people ask me if some of those people were going to go to hell because they did that. I said, no, if they're born again. If they were truly born again, and that DNA thing, you know, was messing with, have I ever worried about it? Yes, I have. It's like one of my friends years ago, good friends with him, and I knew he had some issues. And he was an awesome worshiper. I mean, a beautiful person in so many ways. A little aggressive, you know, which I like that part about him. Honestly, when he died young. I worried about him if he went to hell or not. I did. And then I had a dream one night where he was driving me around heaven. Talk about relief. Yeah, I was really worried about that. So I know that, and he had some time to get things right with God too, but I believe if you're truly born again, the issues that you have, you're not sent you to hell. I do not believe that. I think what you got, the blood of Jesus in you, you just don't have his blood in you. You are his son and daughter, period. And you always will be. You may be as rebellious, have no rewards. You spend, when you go to heaven, you go to eternity, you're going to be in the lowest level, whatever it is. Thank God you're going to be there. Right? That's what we're going to be thankful for. Thank God. They're going to be there, and I wholeheartedly believe that. And you should believe that. I believe it wholeheartedly, and I have scripture to totally back it up now, you know. And so you're going to be tested, and you're going to find things in your life. And if you sit there and deny him, you're going to go around that mountain and keep sinning that sin and keep having the same problem over and over again. That's why you probably haven't got rid of the things that you're having a problem with right now. The financial things, the relationship things, and hating and having unforgiveness, and you know, wishing they were whatever, and you know, freaking out. Oh my God, what if? And the devil's tormenting you. You think you're just like little Mr. Hotshot by thinking, whatever. No, you better get that right with God. But you know what? It's going to be used. The reason God takes you to the wilderness to get that out of you is so that in the end times, you know, the devil can't use it, and especially the Antichrist spirit that's going to be very predominant. We're starting to see it now. It's becoming very predominant. And the more the predominancy of Antichrist spirit, which is everything against Christ, not just tolerating Christ, against Christ, when that starts really dominating, you're going to find yourself those little issues you got now that you can overcome now, like your money thing and your relationship things and your health and all the things you're going through. Yeah. Well, you think you're going to have trouble with that. You know, wait till that pressure comes and you find yourself bowing, not bowing to the devil, but bowing to that temptation, because you never let God deal with it. You never let God deal with it in your life. You kept denying it. No, that's not me. I got faith. No, that's not me. And every time that the temptation comes, you fall for it every time. What about, oh, my God, what about, what if? Yeah, exactly. Look at that. Be honest about it. David had to be honest, finally. The prophet busted him. Thank God he had a prophet who busted him. Could you imagine him living with that much longer than he did, what that would have done to him? What that would have done to the future? God dealt with David and intervened with David, not just for David's sake, but for the future of Israel, for the future of the temple, and for the future of his children, and for the future of, you know, of the Messiah coming. Yeah. So, you know, you haven't done it. I don't think most people that I know haven't done what David's done as a believer. I'm talking about as a heathen, I did some pretty nasty things. You know, I consider them nasty. You know, I felt dirty. I was dirty. I got born again. He cleansed me and washed me. It was done. Now, as a Christian, you know, I don't really talk about my sins I did as a heathen much. You know, I talk more about what I did with the sins. I opened up my sins as a Christian, as a believer, because I believe that I need to let people know, hey, man, you know, this stuff happens, and you need to get right with God. I'm going to sit here and say, no, not me. I've lived a perfect life. Yeah, it's been really great. God's been really good. Oh, my God. No, let's just be honest and open about why. It keeps you from going around that mountain again. You're going to get tired of going around that same mountain. You look at that same old house you live in. Look at that same old car you're driving around. Look at that same old whatever. And it's not that, you know, I'm saying God wants to give you, you know, a really monstrous house and a really, really expensive car. It's not even about that. It's about you going around the same mountain again, over and over again. Why? You know why? Because you got that thing in your heart, and God wants to help you get delivered of it and get free of it so you can move on and be really blessed. If somebody dropped $1 million in your pocket right now with that issue, you would, of course I know you're going to say, like I would say, it's like Peter, I would never deny you, Lord. No, not ever. And then, you know, 2 days later, he's like, I don't believe I know who he is. You know why? That's not because Peter was evil or bad. It's because that thing was in his heart, man. Jesus knew it. He didn't reject him and say, you sorry scumbag, you'll never do anything for me. No, he said, you're going to feed my sheep. Yeah, and that's right after he did it. did exactly what Jesus said, because Jesus knew that was in him. We got to quit looking at people who have issues and condemning them for it and just start being honest with them up front, just like the prophet was with David. He walks in there knowing that David's not going to right up admit that. What did he do? He brings a little parable situation. Well, David, King David, there's this man over here that he had 1,000 sheep, and somebody came to visit him, and instead of using one of his own sheep to throw a little party for this guy, he goes and kills the only sheep that the other guy had, and killed his only sheep. That sheep was one of his buddies. It stayed with him. It was his friend. The prophet really told this story. If you don't believe it, go read it for yourself. It's amazing. And he knows. If he doesn't do it like this, then David's not gonna get it right. So what do you think? Oh, I think David says, I think you need to, who is that sorry, no good piece of trash? I'm going to go kill him. He needs to die right now. And the prophet says, oh, sir, that's you because of what you did. And he's like going, oh, all of that self-righteous, arrogant, prideful things that we all have in us to a certain degree started tumbling to the ground. He's like, he wanted to fight David. He wanted to slap him around. I mean, he wanted to fight the prophet and slap him around. Probably, it was probably his first thought. Who do you think you are? But you know what? He was a smart man. He kept his mouth shut. Didn't mean he didn't think about it. Like some of y'all thinking, maybe right now, you know, like you'd do if a prophet was to expose you. You know, and it's like sometimes God, the reason God had David be told like that is because God knew David. He knew if David didn't get it right and get it, you know, the message from the prophet the right way, that he might have killed the prophet too. Who knows? I don't know. I'm sure that the prophet was a little bit fearful of his life. But you know what? Sometimes you get a word, you just go give it no matter what. And that's the world, you know, God wants you to be able to live in, not be afraid to die, not be afraid to, you know, God wants to humble you in front of everybody, then maybe he's humbling you in front of everybody for a reason, because the arrogant thing that you never want to admit is the very thing that's going to destroy you 6 months from now. He's trying to say, I love you. I want to help you conquer this thing. I'm exposing you right now. You obviously have a pride issue like David, a thing of I'm king, you know, I'm a good Christian, you know, that's mine. And, you know, you're getting a little pride about it. And God says, yeah, look at here. I tested you. Look what you did. You made a donkey of yourself. In David's case, he didn't make a donkey of himself. He became a murdering, sorry, no good piece of trash, adulterating, sneaking around, and having a guy killed because he wouldn't go with his own just deceptive little game he had going on. Go home and sleep with his wife, so it looked like it wasn't David's baby, but his baby. He killed him. And he hadn't got it right either. But some things in our lives, friend, that God deals with in very special ways that are very hidden, very deep. And sometimes he has to humiliate you publicly, humiliate you whatever way. He will do it, and it's for your good because he loves you. He says, I will humble you. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna. If you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Wow. Boy, how many times have I been chastened? Sometimes it's been public. Sometimes it's been private. Sometimes it's just kind of been like whatever. I've had a little bit of everything. And believe me, as a servant of God, it's like Nathan did with the prophet, with the King David. You got to be willing to do whatever to make somebody really gets ticked off, think they want to, you know, do whatever to you. Let them try it. Either God's with you or he's not, friend. That's it, period. Yeah, so the more you lie, the more you deny, the more you die.
The more you lie, the more you deny, the more times you're going to die when you go around that mountain for the 47th time.
Yeah, God's trying to help you. And you sometimes you need to use people that aren't afraid to deal with, oh, I don't like you because you're saying this. Could you imagine what David, I don't think he liked it, what Nathan told him, and yet God so loved David that he spared him, keeping that hidden, keeping that quiet and festering underneath him, would have destroyed his life. But God knew David's heart. He knew that once he was confronted that David would get it truly right with God and that God would consider him a great man of God. Friend, you think you're any better than that or me? You're not. So think that. Forget about it. God loves you. He's going to help you. All right. Anyway, I don't know what that was all about, but praise God. I'll eat some of that myself. Where are we at here? Here's one of the things God's speaking to me about, and this happens to be right here in the scripture. I haven't read this in a long time. Beware that you do not, the Lord your God, verse 11, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which fiery serpents, scorpions, and a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought you water out of a flinty rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, with your fathers, and did not know that he might humble you and bring, that he might test you to do you good to the end. And you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand gave me this wealth. And you shall remember, verse 18. This is for somebody tonight. I don't know if he's eating this up, but here you go. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get well. Wow, I forgot about that being there. And that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall be severely, you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroyed before you. So you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. All right, that wasn't. I wanted to read that. I think it was really good here. Where I wanted to read something else here. About the fear of the Lord. Let me see that in there. I want to prophesy about the fear of the Lord for a moment. I'm prophesying tonight so you can document this. And one thing God's been dealing with me about is the fear of the Lord. Because some people don't live in the fear and reverence of God. They'll say anything to anybody. They'll walk up to a servant of God and be cocky and talk ugly to them. And, well, I'm not afraid to ask him this or ask her that or say this to them and say, you better watch what you say. There's a reason for it. Because, you know, the fear of the Lord is what's going to save you and keep you, right? It keeps you from making mistakes that, you know, you don't want to make. I don't want to make. The fear of the Lord does that. So I'm trying to find the scripture here. Give me a second. It's amazing when you look at the scripture and it just gives you everything but the scripture. reading this out of this, Proverbs 23:17. The fear of the Lord is a continual submission to God in humility. I'm reading this off the and faith. Book of Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is a continual submission to God in humility and faith. Proverbs 23:17, and consists of a hatred of evil. Wow. Oh, well, there you go. That I like that. And consists of a hatred of evil and the desire to turn away from it. Yeah, that's really good. I don't think I've ever read. I've said some of that before, but I've never said all that. That's pretty cool. Thank the Lord show me some of that stuff. Oh, man, that's awesome. To hate evil. The fear of the Lord consists of a hatred for evil, of evil, and the desire to turn away from it. Wow, isn't that good? Yeah, and that's kind of what happened with David, is David started kind of walking away from the fear of the Lord, and pretty soon he's sleeping with somebody else's wife. I mean, you have to think about that. That was like, you know, it was really sad, and it cost him a lot. Cost him a whole lot. Okay, so I think that what we're running across is the fear of the Lord. God's going to begin to administer the fear of the Lord through. He's speaking to me about this today again, that just like in the days of Ananias and Sapphira, what happened was, when Ananias and Sapphira, which was a married couple, by the way, in case you don't know, they were married. They were a married couple. They conspired with each other. They started conspiring. They lost their fear of the Lord, if they ever had it. They walked in there and they lied. You know, they came and they just going to lie. And they started lying and scheming and doing different things. Pretty soon, they're lying and scheming. Wasn't lying and scheming to them anymore. It was just like the way we do business. Oh, that's just the way we make. That's just the way we eat our food. We get food. We get money. We get this. They just scheme, and little did they realize, in God's eyes, they had no fear of the Lord, and in God's eyes, they were lying. Not just that's just what we do, and it's nobody's business, right? In God's eyes, it wasn't. So what's going to happen is we're going to start seeing the true way that God sees things, because He's going to deal with them. And particularly, you know, I kept getting this thing about a married couple. God's dealing with that in a married couple, that the enemy is trying to, you know, set people up, because they sit around there together. And I've been married, and I know what it's like. You get caught up into this thing, and pretty soon the fear of the Lord's not there, and you're scheming all kinds of things, thinking this, you know, oh, man, I feel the anointing. Or, man, you feel the anointing? Yeah, I feel the anointing. And so the fear of the Lord just kind of goes right out the window. And they find themselves, you know. Anyway, God showed me that we're gonna. It's just like the Book of Acts, no different from the Bible. That there's going to be people like Ananias and Sapphira that are going to do their thing, and God's going to bring the fear of the Lord back to the church again by dealing with some situations. It's going to look horrible. It's going to look really. Why would God do that? Why would God do that in the Book of Acts? Grace had just been poured out. And Ananias and Sapphira were both taken out. Peter didn't warn his wife, Sapphira. Oh, your husband just lied. You better not lie. You better tell the truth, because he's dead. It always amazed me why he didn't do that. Because, you know, that can't be a true translation, Brother Chandler, because God would never do that to a woman, ever, to the wife. Oh, it never. But it happened, and it's in the Bible, and it happened. So we got to look at the Bible the way the Bible is, because we got to see things the way God sees it, because what some people call just that's the way we do business is lying before God. And we're going to see a lot of this. People are so we've lost the fear of the Lord. We've become arrogant. I think the merchandising spirit has done a lot of that to the church, because this stuff God told me, this stuff is going to happen within the church. Like Ananias and Sapphira were part of the church. That's why they were coming to the church, to bring the money that they lied about. And what happened? You know, they dropped dead. And then the Bible says in that scripture, let me look at it for you here so I can make sure I get this right. I want to make sure I get this right. It's the fear of the Lord part that the Lord really uses. Speaking to me about this again today. Talking to me about it before. There's a man named Ananias, together with his wife, Sapphira, who sold a piece of property with his wife's full knowledge. Watch this, with his wife's full knowledge, verse 1, He kept back part of the money for himself. He brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart, that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money as you received for the land? Did it not belong to you before it was sold? In other words, I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't put it on you that you had to get the whole thing. It was in your own hands to do whatever you wanted to do with it, and yet you lied about it. Didn't it belong to you, verse 4, before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? In other words, you could do whatever you want to with it. What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to a human being, to human beings, but to God. And Ananias heard this, and he fell down and died in great fear. Watch this. Here's what the Lord showed me, that we're about to break open with a new season. This is going to happen to church folk. Church folk who have lost the fear of the Lord. This is what the Lord told me. He's spoken to me about this before, but honestly, I think I've talked about it a little bit. But he's spoken to me about this about several times. We're getting ready to see just how far the church has gotten away from what the way God sees things, not the way they see it. Ananias and Sapphira sure didn't see it as lying to God. They saw it as, you know, this is the way we do business. We've done business like this all of our life, and God never, you know, and never been lying. It's just the way it's our business, the way we do business. It's not lying. But in God's eyes, God saw it in a completely different way. And a husband and wife team, you know, it says right here, it makes it very plain. His wife knew, had full knowledge that he was going to keep back part of the money for himself. She had full knowledge of that. Verse 2, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money. So what we're going to see happening here is that God is going to restore the reverential fear and awe of God by some people are going to be smitten. I already know it. I've known it, you know, for a little while. And just today, I think it was there yesterday. I'm doing a lot of book work. I think it was yesterday and today, both showing me this again and telling me to get it out there and publish it so it can be documented as it begins to happen. And so we're going to see this happen. So that, just watch this. And I heard this, and he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. This is the church, not just the church. The church not only heard this, but everybody heard it. All who heard it, and believe me, it spread like wildfire because God was strategizing something that he was beginning to show the people. You cannot just say and do whatever you want to God and come before the new church. This new church that had been birthed was not like that happened, you know, under the law. There was some people got killed too, but they got stoned by the priest who, you know, had documented proof that they did what they did. Now it's like God himself is taking care of business, you know, and you know, so then the young man who came forward wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this price you and Ananias got for the land? She said, yes, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord, to test him? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. That moment she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. That stuff, friend, I'm saying as a prophet, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, we are going to see this happen in very similar circumstances. That's what the Lord said, very similar circumstances. Why is that going to happen? Because God's mad at people? No, because God, most people do not realize how far they have fallen from God, mainly the church. The church has been so merchandise friendly and hardened their heart toward that and have justified it all.
They've gotten so far away from God, they don't even realize it. So what's God going to do to get the church back on, getting ready for the end times? This kind of stuff. This kind of stuff right here. Because, and here's the reason we're talking about this. The reason that God's going to do such strong things is because the hardening of the heart. Look what's going on in our world, in America and the world. The hardening of the heart is more, I'm guessing, I don't really know, I have a factual evidence, is more, the hardening of the heart is harder than it's ever been. People are doing things and believing things that you can't even believe that they believe that. I mean, non-Christian people are going like, I can't believe you actually believe that stuff. How can you be, you know, how can you say, it's like, you know, so because the hardening of the heart is so hard that God is going to deal with it through plagues, like when the two witnesses come on the scene, they're going to deal with it. Why are the plagues so important? Because, you know, whether you believe this is the end of the end times or not, it was for them. We know that when they were walking around, it was really the end of the end times, right? So what's the end of the end times? Things are going to be worse than ever. What's going to be worse than ever? Well, one of the things is that people's hearts are going to be more hardened than ever. You think they're hardened now? Wait for a couple more years. Wait for another year. It's all happening so fast. There's such an acceleration on the hardening of hearts. And God is going to have to shake the church by doing things just like this. Where's this at? This before, is this in the law? This is when grace, this is right after Jesus had died on the cross and grace was brand spanking new. And what happened? It said the fear of God came upon not only the church, but all who heard it. And believe me, it spread like wildfire. And they're like, what? Peter killed him? No, not Peter. Peter just said, you lied to God, not to me, you guys. And then he didn't tell his wife that it happened to her husband, because she came in 3 hours. You'd think they would have had a board meeting and come up with something like, well, maybe we should warn her. Somebody go warn her that what happened to her husband. No, they didn't do that. They didn't do that, friend. You know why? I'm going to tell you about it sometime. This is a little hard to handle. I'm going to tell you, prepare the way for this one and tell you more about this lady. Why it was a couple and why this thing went on and how they talked themselves into it. And they've been doing business like that for a long time. Some people are shifting their business. It's like the multi-billionaire that I dealt with, that I had to send him a note. Remember you telling me about that? One of the biggest temptations and trials in my life, how I deal with money. It was all the money thing. He was a multi-billionaire. Some people said I think his son told me he had like $35 billion. He probably exaggerated that a little bit, maybe a few billion. I don't really know how much billion he had because I didn't care about that. But his own son told me, I believe it was $35 billion he had, and that was back, you know, many years ago. And so I had to, you know, he had gotten so hard. He was a Christian. He said he was a Christian, at least. He kept a lot of Christian organizations. He, you know, blah, blah, blah. Read his Bible, but he had done a lot of people wrong because he had done it for so long, he had justified it in his mind as just the way I do business. I've been doing business like this for a long time, and this is exactly what he did and how he thought, as I found out later. Because other people around him, when I gave him that word and he got mad and contacted the people from Romania that set me up with him to go to Romania, the guy I rebuked, you know, very kindly and very lovingly with scripture, and told him he needed to return some money back that he had robbed from some people. He didn't like that. Well, it's like he probably like going, this guy wants my money, and he's telling me this, you know? Yeah, sorry, man. It's just what the Lord, you know, the Lord made me do it. You know, I mean, I didn't want to do it. The Lord made me do it. So I did it in obedience to the Lord on a private email. You understand, I've dealt with this thing before. We deal with people with money, how they handle things. Oh, one of these days I'll tell you the whole story about that one situation. Yeah, you deal with money, with people who have money, like my father-in-law. You deal with people who got money and that are power hungry and control freaks. Yeah, they may be, if they're honest businessman, being a control freak means you control them by the Holy Ghost. But in his case, he was controlling because he got so used to doing his business his way. He didn't give a rip. Nobody's going to rebuke me because, I'll cut him off. I'll fire him. He got so used to that, he got so drunk with that, he forgot that God didn't like it until, Brother Chandler, a little note from you in my private text that you're saying I'm in sin. I just wanted to go, yeah. I mean, you're not going to give me any money. You know, I mean, I'm messing with that. But literally, that was my big test. You know, one of my many tests that I've had. I was dealing with a multi-billionaire at that time. He handed me, like I told you, big handfuls. You know, little wad. He would roll them up. He'd roll up $100 bills. You know, it was a handful. He was a handful of hundreds rolled up in a little ball. You know, and and more than once. So most of it I ended up giving away. Now I know why, to help other people, because God told me to. It's like he wouldn't let me keep any of it hardly. I think I understand why. But anyway, so because he was so arrogant and so in that area, I'm not saying he wasn't born again. I'm not saying he didn't love Jesus, because I don't know. But I know I dealt with him. And when I dealt with him about that, God, I'm going to tell you something, brother. It hit the fan. It hit one of the biggest fans I've ever seen the stuff hit when it hit. Yeah. I mean, he turned on me. And when I see those stories sometimes, they ran him out of the country. They ran him out of the country. Literally, the president of that country ran him out of the country. Yeah, there's a long story behind that. He ought to write a book about it sometimes. I mean, some of the stories, and it's not just me. He also told my pastor some of the stories, too. So it's not just me. He told the story, too. My pastor got connected because I got connected, and then when I went to Romania, then they all, and everybody goes, oh, yeah, let's connect with this guy, because he's, you know, when you got money, you're hoping that guy's going to have to build something or do something, right? My pastor wanted, you know, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, that's all under the water, but under the bridge under the water, but water under the bridge. So, yeah, so much for that bridge. So sometimes you get tested, friend. God was seeing what was in my heart. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to do it. I'm thinking, you know, I mean, my God, we finally got somebody who's generous with their money. It's like, and then you want me to tell them they're in sin? He said, just do it. You better do it. That's how it got, because I was arguing with God. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, by faith in Jesus' name, I did. But you know what? I saw God bring me through stuff. He used that whole situation to test me at a high level that I've never been tested with before, dealing with people with billions. Yeah. And to see how I would handle it, because God prepared me. Now, you know about the Indian thing? The old stage Indian thing, you know a little bit about that now and how that was dealt with. So you kind of see, you start seeing patterns in your life. Like with me, I know in particular, I don't know about you, I know how God dealt with me. In dealing with money situations, how would I handle it? What I do, tell the guy the truth who's pumping me money? It wasn't easy, friend. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a difficult thing to do. Yeah, it was the nicest, I wrote it the nicest way. There was no way you could be nice about that when you tell somebody they've ripped some people off. And that's what the scripture he gave me outright said, and you need to take care of it. And so you can, how do you speak nice about that? I mean, you can't butter that one up, right? I tried to, like, well, you know, sometimes we mess up. And I don't remember what all I said, but it was short. And sure enough, you know, just like I knew, that ended that one, basically, as far as him being friendly. That into that one and started a whole nother thing going on. Yeah. Anyway, so I'll talk about it some other time. But so you and me tested and cried, friend. I had to be honest with myself, just like being honest with you right now. I mean, I could say, oh, yeah, you know, when God told me to rebuke him, I'm a man of God. Are you kidding me? Of course I told him without any reservations. But I ain't going to lie to you, man. I ain't going to lie, because I don't want to go around that mountain again. I want to go through it. So if God's rebuking you tonight, know that it's because he's chasing you tonight. It's because he loves you. That's it. Period. All right, I'll be right back. Give me a second. I'll be right back. Okay, y'all, I'm back. Thanks for being with us tonight. I hope I didn't bore you too much with my little stories. But in Christ's name, I lie not when I tell you them. I have to say it sometimes because people don't believe me. But it's exactly true. You know, yep, exactly right. I've been tested with things that, you know, when I get to tell the whole story about the attorney, the family attorney thing with the Osage Indian situation, when I get to tell all that, yeah, That's first-hand. Everything I'm telling you is first-hand information. It's not some gossip, not something I think somebody told me that somebody told me and then somebody told me and then I believed it. I'm talking about face-to-face encounters. I'm talking about stuff that, yeah, I'm not saying, oh, I got an email from somebody, I'm connected with all these people, you know, and without any proof of it, without any evidence, without anything going on with it, you know, it's like, you know, we don't play that game. They don't call it lying. They call it, well, we're just trying to let people know that, you know, I did actually email that person. Of course, I don't have anything to do with their business, but I make it look like I did. But, you know, so it's like, you know, a lot of the things that are being done are just, it's fake. It's all fake. It's not real. What I'm telling you really happened. What I'm telling you is real. Family attorney, all that, Osage Indians, the documentation, my dad, all that stuff I'm talking about. When I can tell all that, yeah, it blows my mind. It may not blow yours, but it blows my mind. So anyway, all right, let's take some callers tonight, see what's going on, see how you all are doing tonight. We love you, and I'm here to help you if I can. By the grace of God. So hopefully I'll never have to be like David was, like Nathan was, the prophet Nathan was to David. But if I do, I'll come knocking on your door, just like I had to do that billionaire guy. And believe me, I do not come arrogant, like I got nothing, you know, nothing wrong with me. Yeah, I just like pure humility, like, dear Jesus, you know. You walk on sacred holy ground when you rebuke people. Because it is, when I have to rebuke people like that, I know that I could be in their shoes. It's like David. I could step into that stuff so fast. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to judge him. I'm going to speak the truth about it. But I've been in some stuff. Sometime I'll talk about all of it. But right now I can't. So, all right, let's take our callers tonight. Thanks for being with us. Pray for me as I do the books. Got my first caller tonight with their hand up. I got one caller with their hand up. Just got their hand up just now. All right, 803-91. What is going on over there?
Hi, Prophet Randy.
Hey, Andrew, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing? It's been a long time.
I'm doing better. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What's on your mind tonight? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How's the weather down there where you all are? Because I know there's supposed to be a storm coming here tomorrow.
Oh, you're in Georgia? South Carolina. I'm sorry. Not Georgia. South Carolina. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of been a little rainy today. When I went out and walked before I come on the show, you know, I eat a little something, some avocado and some protein, and then I go for a walk. A fast walk, and it had been rainy before that, but I kind of like this weather, honestly.
Yeah, they're shutting some schools down here tomorrow because of the weather. So I don't know.
What's the weather? What kind of weather is it? Cold weather or what? Freezing weather?
It's cold right now, but they're saying like high winds tomorrow, and it's going to be really cold, rain.
Oh wow!
They're actually closing some schools down, so. Yeah,
oh, my God. That's pretty cold.
Severe weather. Yeah. I know a blizzard in certain states have been moving across the U.S., from like the west toward this way.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a major storm.
Right. Remind me a little bit about that. I haven't been able to keep up. I've been so busy. I know they've been having some bad weather. I've been hearing about some rough weather. Where else is it going on at? New York or, I mean, where's that?
I think it's in Nebraska.
Okay.
Right, some part of Texas also, but like, I don't know certain areas. But what is it said? A lot of the west states, like Seattle, Washington, and Alabama.
Okay.
I think there's quite a few. They keep moving the map things, and you know they can't predict
right.
it. They're saying they know it's a big like a blizzard kind of storm coming. So,
oh
like,
really?
They're not sure of the. It's in some areas. It says, let's see right here. It says 47 feet of snow forecast for parts of the West Coast this week.
Uh-huh.
And It's moving towards the East Coast. Yeah. So that showed one car earlier I saw on the news. It was spinning on the road.
On the road,
it was,
Getting icy, yeah.
So,
yeah, I missed that. I've got right now. I'm getting all y'all's documentation for your taxes done. Usually I don't do that. I don't have to do that. But now I've got the books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the books. So I've been working
feverishly
trying to do that. Yeah, I'm doing really good though. I've got a lot of it done, and I'm organizing it in my own little way. Julie had done such a great job. But she's been doing it. She did it for years, you know.
Right.
And so when she started getting messed up, she's not able to do it anymore. But, so I'm doing everything.
Okay.
So it's really interesting. I kind of like it. You know, I've never been a math person, or never been a person who likes doing book work at all. In fact, it's the opposite.
Right.
I don't like it at all. I think partially because my brain has kind of opened up and I'm able to process a little bit better, maybe a lot better. I'm actually enjoying it. Yeah, so it's kind of unusual. It's a very unusual situation. Most people that knew me were going like, man, what are you going to do about the books now? We know you. I'm going like, I don't think you know the new me. That's what the problem is.
Right.
You know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying, but yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
I'm
loving it, and it's actually pretty easy also. Easier than I thought.
Right.
Mainly because she prepared. Of course, I follow a lot of her stuff. So the thing is, because I was never involved in it at all. I mean, she got all the, every year she get all the stuff done, the file of taxes, and she say, here, this and this and this and this and this. And all you got to do is sign it. So I just sign it. That was about it. You know, we talk about it and look at it. And I say, yeah, it looks good to me. And so little did I realize all that when it was involved in it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm talking about literally, I have in storage now, I have thousands and thousands of paperwork, you know, books.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, thousands.
What?
So it's not just like a few hundred. It's like literally stored, in box after box after box after box. And so...
Do you use like Office? Are you using Office or something, or are you just...
Well, I'm using Microsoft. Well, I use what she used because I got everything off her computer. Microsoft Excel.
Okay, yeah.
Are you familiar with that one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I tried to do that at one point in time. It was going pretty well, but I didn't stick with it. So that's you're doing that.
Well, yeah. It's actually, you know, like I said, I can't tell because I've never done bookwork before. I've never liked it. Never been good at it. So for me to do it and to figure it out was pretty amazing. And then I'm actually enjoying it. The problem is that because I didn't know anything about anything. I mean, nothing about nothing. I didn't know how to use Microsoft Excel. I've never heard. I think I heard of it before, but you know, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to, so I'm starting fresh, you know, and, she never explained anything to me because I think she actually tried to, her family wanted to do my books, which became another situation with the family situation. Her family, I don't want to name names or, you know, talk about details, but they, one of the children who does books wanted to do the books, but I had some real issues with some things through all the family stuff that went on with that person. And so I think Judy just thought that I would just hand them over to her and then, you know, whatever, to her.
Right.
To, I can't say, I almost said who it was. I can't say who it is. But, I said, no. And then they got mad at me because they knew I was going to do it. They knew I would just hand them over because, you know, her mother, I'm getting in deep trouble right now. I'm starting to really mess this up already. I'm not used to talking about this bigger thing because nobody even knows about some of this stuff. But because I would not allow them to do the books for the ministry, and it's a big job, that they got really mad at me, really, really mad at me. And one of these days I'll talk about it when I can, what all happened because of that. But it created me some real problems just because of that.
Right.
Believe that or not. Yeah. And so I think they knew I couldn't do it. And the cool thing about it is that, and I give her the credit for the way she set it up, and I give myself the credit for being a stubborn donkey who doesn't give up. And and I literally work on the books. One Saturday, I think I talked about this, one Saturday I woke up about, I got started about 11 o'clock, and I went from 11 o'clock in the morning, 11 a.m., till 2 to about 2 o'clock in the next morning, 2 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Next morning. I worked on them all day long. I stopped for a few minutes to eat something because I realized, oh, my God, I haven't eaten. It's been 8 hours. I better eat something. So I ate something and went right back at it. And, you know, it was a lot of learning, a lot of – and I and my new brain just, like, got excited about it. I'm going, oh, my God, I can't believe. So, yeah.
Great. That's like, you know, for my brain, I like to do mazes. I like to do those little puzzles like mazes. For some reason, it seems like it gives my brain exercise when I do those mazes. Not so much crossword puzzles, but I like the mazes. It works for me.
How do you do a maze? How do you do that?
Well, you just they have the little books you can order, and you just draw, the little lines.
Book. Yeah, and then you write.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so, yeah.
And you start from one end and you go through it to the other?
Right.
On the maze?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is good brain exercise.
Yeah,
awesome.
I like doing that, so.
Yeah, when I started finding out about brain stuff, they started saying that you could, you know, when you get ready to retrain your brain, they have these train your brain things that you can, like apps that you can get. I haven't ever gotten one, but I thought about it. And so one of the things maybe that happened to me was instead of getting those brain apps to help develop my brain, so now that it's opening up, you know, I'm 70 years old, right? So I shouldn't be going, you know, up higher. I should be, you know, just trying to maintain, right? But my brain is like, so anyway, so I think that what happened is that the bookwork stuff came in just in time and my brain just ate it up. Like,
wow.
You know, like, yeah.
Well,
like the maze thing,
super nutrients you're taking, those super nutrients you take help out too. That super nutrient drink you have, your brain drink.
Oh, my drink, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, girl, that stuff like, and I'm learning all kinds of things too. Right now I learned some new things about the pomegranate that I didn't even know. So I started, so now instead of just eating the seeds or making juice out of the seeds, you know, I don't eat the seeds. Mm-hmm. The seeds are good for you, but I didn't eat the seeds. I just make juice out of them, and I've talked about that for a long time. I have an invention, what I call an invention, what I made out of that. So just recently I found out that doing the whole pomegranate, the skin, the seeds, and the juice, all of it, is like a powerhouse of all kinds of things. I woke up a couple mornings ago, maybe 2 or 3 days ago, and the Lord said, and it's like all of a sudden pomegranates were in my mind. And when I do that, I know God's trying to tell me something, right? So I get on. The first thing I did, I YouTube, you know, pomegranate, how to deal with pomegranates. And this lady goes into this thing, man, and starts talking about the pomegranate and the all the aspects of it, even from the being used in the temple to, you know, the whole full pomegranate and the power that's in that. She said that's why it's called, pomegranates have a little crown on them, right? When you pluck them, that's what they look like, they're crowns. And so they were, you know, put in the Jewish temple and the Solomon's temple and Moses' temple and all the temples because they represent something powerful. So as I discovered that, as most people know, Now I'm actually doing the whole pomegranate. It's a little bitter. You have to, like, add a little bit extra juice to it, you know. But, wow. Girl, my eyes, the next day, after I did my first batch, you know, did the whole pomegranate, the seeds, everything, and ground it up and then strained most of the stuff off and kept, you know, 95% of it, but I strained a little bit of it off. And, man, my eyeballs, the next day when I picked up my phone, the very next day, or maybe a few hours later, I picked up my phone like I always do, and I'm looking at something, trying to find something, and the color on the phone was like, oh, my God. I mean, it was so obvious that something had changed that I just kind of like went, what'd they do to my phone? And I haven't upgraded or anything. They're like, what happened to my phone? It wasn't the phone. It was my eyes. Something happened to my eyes. I don't even know what my eyes needed, but.
You ground the whole pomegranate up in the blender?
The whole enchilada, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
The whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you must have a mega mixture, a very large blender.
Well, yeah, you have to do it in pieces.
Is that Vitamix one you have? I mean, Vitamix was one of them.
I don't know which one I have. It's the ones that we had for a long time. I don't know what they are. I think I bought one. I couldn't tell you what it is. I have to go look at it. But yeah, when I find out, I'll let you know. But it's not anything fancy. It's not anything fancy. It's a good one.
Okay.
I have a couple of them. Julie had one for
it.
You kind of cut it up.
Yeah.
Drop and put it in there. And then, exactly. And it may be a little dry. So sometimes you have to make some juice. Like I just make me some juice from the pomegranate seeds, just the juice only, like I did before. Because I always threw away the seeds. And, you know, I knew they were good for you to a certain degree, but now when I woke up that morning at, 8 o'clock in the morning, which I don't normally wake up that early because I work late, I go, oh, my God. And I turned that video on, and it was the Holy Ghost telling me to do that. I thought, yes, sir, I'm on my way. So I went and got me, and I ground them all up and drank it and got the results right away, man.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. So you say your eyes just felt like they were more in color, is what you're saying, more vivid.
Yeah, the color, right. I mean, I see color fine, like I watch things, but all of a sudden it's like somebody – beefed up the color on my phone where it was like real colorful. I could see colors like really, really. I can see. I have pretty good eyes. For a 70-year-old man, I have pretty good eyes. I wear glasses sometimes, and I try not to ever wear them because I think they make your eyes worse. Actually, but so I try not to ever wear glasses. But so and my eyes are pretty decent. But man, I mean, I know my eyes well, right? And sometimes first thing in the morning, it takes a little while for them to, like, clear all the gunk out. And, pretty soon about, 12 o'clock, I can start seeing, even better. But, when you wake up, your eyes are kind of, like, sleepy in them. And so for me to be able to, right away, the color just on my phone just went, I went to some site, I don't remember which one it was. And the color, a lot of colors on there, like a background, the green trees and the grass and the flowers. I went, oh my God, what has happened?
Wow.
Yeah. So now I am like heavy duty on that. And, it's a little difficult because it's kind of bitter when you do the whole thing.
Right.
The pomegranate, skin is like leather. It's like a leather. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I know anything bitter is really good for the liver, though, because I know I drink cranberry juice bitter, the bitter kind, with water, and the bitter is actually real good for the liver because it does some type of cleansing with the liver and cholesterol. So, I think the Bobby requires that we do bitter herbs, I think once a week or something like that, bitter herbs, to eat that kind of stuff. So that's a good thing, even though it's bitter, but,
Yeah, but the thing is, the bitter, the better. Like with chocolate, I started eating chocolate. Because they say it has what wine has in it, has the same kind of thing wine has in it. So I thought, well, wine is powerful. So I got me some chocolate, 92%, not the 50%, has a lot of sugar in it. I got the 92%, which has, very little sugar at all in it. I don't think it has any sugar in it. I don't know how much it has in it, but not much. Anyway, so I started, doing that. And they say with chocolate, they say the bitter the chocolate, the better. So don't try to get something sweet like Hershey's, get something that has no sugar in it, and eat that. It's really better for you. So that's kind of what I think the thing is with this. Is I thought about the same thing when I started drinking it, and it was a little bitter. I thought, well, bitter is better. So it's like medicine. If I was taking medicine, I wouldn't care if it was bitter.
Right. Oh, that's great. That's never heard anybody eating a whole pineapple. I mean, a whole pomegranate.
Yeah, pomegranate. Yeah.
Well, neither have I. That's what I'm talking about. When that lady, she has a whole, I'll try to get, if people are interested, I can get them the video that I watched, but I've never even heard, I've never seen that lady. I've done a lot of research on pomegranate, I just woke
right.
up, and when I wake up and the Holy Ghost has me doing something, I jump on it because I know he's going to show me something. I don't have a clue what it is, but I turned it on, and the first video I came out, a video I'd never seen before, and this lady was happy, she was nice, she was quality. And she was talking about every aspect of the pomegranate, every aspect of it, and had a high-quality professional job she was doing. And
okay.
I just said, I can't believe I'm seeing it. And so I said, yes. What I did is I said, yes, sir. You know, to me, that was him telling me, eat the whole thing, Randy, and you're going to find yourself being really blessed. So I go,
right.
Okay, Lord, I got you. So I did right away. Right away.
That's
didn't me piddle around about
very
it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try to get the nerve to try that. And you just blend it up in the blender. Is it really thick when you
yes,
blend
it
up
is
in the
thick.
Blend?
Sometimes you have to add, like what I do is I buy pomegranate juice in case I want to add a little bit of pomegranate juice. I don't really recommend people buying pom-pom to drink. I recommend people taking pomegranate juice from the pomegranate. That's what I do. So I don't recommend pom-pom. But I do buy pom-pom because a doctor, Benny Hinn's doctor, actually recommended pom-pom. They had something to do with pom-pom. They said pom-pom is the best. So I tried it. I believed them. And so I will buy me a bottle of pom-pom from, like, Walmart or wherever. And so that's what I do is I put a little bit of pom-pom in there, juice, which already mixed. And then I made some juice, too, and put it in there, too. And it made it taste not quite so bitter, but – but the results right away, Angela, really
that's fine, call me Angie.
Just prompted me to the Holy Ghost telling me that he was trying to show me that. So,
wow,
yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, he will show us stuff when we pay attention, that's for sure. Got to catch it. Like, he'll give me stuff to write down sometime, and sometimes I'll don't do it and I'll forget it. And I'll be like,
I know, me
I'll
too.
Remember that train of thought. So, but yeah. Okay. Well, my friend of mine I work with, he gave me these little oranges. They're called Kamara, K-U-M-A-R-A, Kamara. Like, tastes like little tiny oranges. And you eat a whole hug
right.
and everything. And they were really good. I was quite impressed with those little. A friend of his has she's Japanese, and she has a tree in her yard. So she gave me some of them. But they're really good. I never had that type of fruit before, but you can taste the vitamin C in it.
Is it little bitty like a grape, or is it about the size of four or five grapes?
Like a grape maybe, and maybe it's a tad bigger. Some of them, some of them like the size of a little M&M or a grape. Yeah,
I've seen them. Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah.
Those are really good. Power pack with vitamin C.
They're not
C
bad.
Them.
Yeah.
Taste the vitamin C in them. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've eaten those before. I think they sound
okay.
familiar.
I never had them before. You gave me some a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, oh,
okay.
These are pretty good. So.
Okay. Okay. Somebody's commenting here. Davetta is saying, I'm interested. My eyes been sort of cloudy for months. We call them kumquats. What's a kumquat?
Oh, yeah, I think that's probably it. I can't pronounce it right.
Little orange
K-U-M
thing you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay,
K-U-M.
That's what that is. Okay. Q-U-A-T-S. That's what she just wrote.
Okay.
Yeah, the little oranges. Yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True, yeah. Very interesting. Can you send me the video, please? Better put it on mass text. Okay, this is Mike. I think, it's Mike. Saying, wow, looks amazing. It just drops in the blender and then boom. Okay, so I didn't know he'd been texting me about this. Hang on a second here. 2024, you'll see all you're talking about. It has already started. You're releasing this word. It is most likely how now started today. I don't know. You should use QuickBooks. Yeah, QuickBooks. I've heard of QuickBooks. I think Julie has talked about QuickBooks before, but I'm not into any of that. I'm not, like I say, y'all, I'm not into any of this stuff. This is all brand new to me. That's why I can't believe I'm actually eating this up and enjoying it, because it's
right.
just the opposite of me. Yeah, look it up. It's really good. I have heard of it. Yeah, QuickBooks. We all need some brain candy. When can we get some of that? I don't know.
Brain candy.
Brain candy. Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Just drop it in a blender and boom. Yeah. Yeah, you have to go, you know, buy a pomegranate, of course, to do that. But, okay, people sending me stuff. Okay, there are the kumquats. Carmen sent me a little thing of kumquats. Yeah, I've eaten those.
Okay.
Yeah, a little orange. Yeah, those are
that's,
pretty cool.
That's what
those
it
are
is, exactly.
So what's the deal with that? Is it just really got a lot of power pack vitamin C or something in there? What's up with it?
To me, it tastes like a power pack of vitamin C. Yeah, it's definitely
okay.
Loaded with some type of vitamin C for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you
look,
think.
One day my
yeah.
heart was fluttering before he gave it to me. This is how I knew it was a good fruit because, you know, I do like chocolate and stuff, and sometimes if I get too much, it'll make my heart flutter. As soon as I bit that fruit and ate it, that fluttering stopped. So I was sold on it. I was like, wow, because I had never had it before. And so he brought some in one day.
Yeah.
That's how I got to know the name of them. So I'm like, there's got to be something to this little power pack. Tastes like vitamin C.
Uh-huh.
Real deal.
Yeah, no kidding. Let me read a couple of texts here. Jeannie sent something here. I'm sorry, I missed the text. I didn't get all the call. Okay. Okay, no, never mind. I'm sorry. I was about texting. Cheryl from Florida says, repentance, hopefully you're just busy. Tell me why you're... Okay, I can't read that. Some people think I ignore them. Listen, I'm so busy right now, y'all, that my weekends... are nothing right now. I used to take it easy on the weekends, but now I can't take it easy on the weekends because that's when I do book work. I start doing book work Friday night, Saturday,
okay.
and Sunday. That's what I did this weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, doing book work. And
right.
because I have to get out everybody has, you know, everybody used to get their tax statement, right? For your giving for the year. So who does that now? Me. I used to never do it. Now I'm having to do it. So I'm having to learn new systems. I'm having to learn new things. And so just be patient with me. I know you are. No, nobody's complaining anything. But all right. How did he die? Who's that? Shannon says, how did he die? Who died? I don't know. Be a good opportunity ever to talk about something. Sometimes we're going to talk about stuff that weird me. Out, except it's like he's talking to everything that seems. Somebody. Okay, I'm not sure what he's talking about there. Okay, I'm not sure what some people send text. They think I know what I'm talking about, what they're talking about, and I don't. Sorry about that. I maybe I'm a little slow, but if you want to send that to me again in another way where I can understand it a little better, probably. Yeah, diabetes says those orange things, those kumquats are very good. They're good, and you eat the whole thing. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you eat the whole thing. So there yeah. you're eating the peel and everything, right? That you're eating the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got a little seeds in it, you know, maybe one or two seeds in it, three. But, it's rich in antioxidants and boosts your immunity, helps with digestive health and weight loss, and anything with weight, and lowers cancer risk, it says. So,
yeah, oh. to it. Did you just look that up just now or something?
I did.
Oh, good, yeah.
I knew it was good. Vitamin C, it has. Good for the
Well, good. Somebody's got to get on top of that thing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for doing it. Okay, very interesting. And what's happening is that you're saying you eat the whole thing. That's what I'm talking about right now. Eating.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never thought about, you know, you always hear that the peel of fruit is good for you. But I'm thinking, I ain't going to eat that stuff, man. Are you kidding me? But when it comes to the pomegranate and the way this lady did this, explained it, I'll have to find it and then send it out if somebody wants it. But because right now I couldn't even, you know, that happened to me, I don't know, a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm making pomegranate juice out of the whole pomegranate and then trying to do book work. I spent my weekend.
Right.
Was great, but. Yeah, I have a feeling that there's something really more powerful about it than I realized. Because when my eyes got adjusted, like right away, usually I wake up in the
wow.
morning, it takes my eyes, because I'm 70, right? So it takes my eyes a little bit to, you know, kick in, and I have to kind of like hold the phone way out and see. Then as the day goes on, I can be normal, you know. My eyes are open.
Right.
I don't want to put on glasses unless I have to.
Right.
So, yeah. So that morning when that happened to me, that's why I knew, because I know how my eyes are. They do. They'll be okay. You know. As the day grows, as the morning grows on, and I wake up and have a little coffee, then my eyes kind of kick in. But so that's why I knew that when I drank the whole thing, that something had happened immediately. Almost within, you know, an hour, it changed.
Right.
My eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good news. But you always try something new, Rain. I give that to you. Try something new every time I talk to you.
Oh, really? Okay,
that's good,
cool.
Though. Really good.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. What happened is, on that one, though, I give credit to the Holy Spirit on that one. I don't think the Holy Spirit's always directly leading me, you know, that I know of. Like, he is, but I don't always know it, right? He guides us all the time. We don't know it. But this particular thing, the reason I jumped right on it is because I woke up and it was on my mind, just like that.
Okay.
And the Lord said, you know, I mean, I'm still in bed, right? I'm there going, okay, man, I'll look it up. There, God, give me a minute. Okay. And I've looked up pomegranate stuff for years ago. I looked up a bunch of stuff. So I did it again. Like, okay, what do you want me to find out? And man, this cool lady comes on there, smiling and happy, very professional, very knowledgeable, very, you know, very good at what she was doing. And I listened to that, and she said, yeah, but don't throw away the rest of the pomegranate. You know, you need to, you know. I'm going like, what? And I've heard that before a little bit. But
right.
When she said it, it's like, because the reason I did it was only because the Holy Spirit had woke me up and said, told me to search. When he does that, that means it's important. So other than that, I might have missed it.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's some good information.
I think it is.
I never heard
of that.
I
know.
It's very bitter. Even the white part of it is bitter, the seed. So, you know, I don't mind eating the seed.
Yeah.
But that white part is a little bitter, but, you know.
And then the skin itself is really bitter.
Right.
But they say the bitter the better, and I thought about that, like you said, I thought about that when I was thinking, man, this stuff is bitter. So I sweetened it up a little bit with more sweet pomegranate juice, and it helps a lot.
Right. Yeah. That's like yesterday I was peeling me some potatoes to eat for dinner. I was trying to make me some mashed potatoes, and I'm peeling the potato and thinking, oh, wow, this hug is hard to peel. And so I went ahead and finished peeling it, and then I boiled the potatoes, and when I boiled them, they were like hard rocks still, and it should have been soft and mushy like potatoes normally are. So I'm like, what are they doing to our food? Because, you know, they were like two rocks, and I boiled them in, you know, a good amount of water, and it was still hard.
Golly.
So I'm like, what is this? But yeah, and I know how hard the hug was, you know, just peeling it. I thought maybe it's my knife or something, you know. But then after I boiled them, and they were still hard as rocks. I couldn't even mash them up. They were just that hard. So I'm like, are they putting plastic in the things now? Are they trying to, you know? So yeah, that was really weird. But
You sure you didn't try to get some of those decorative, you know, those decorative apples that they have that my mom used to put them in the plastic?
No, these are potatoes.
Okay, I got you. I believe you.
These were white potatoes. Yeah, that's
wow.
So strange. I'm like, I never in my life have had a potato that couldn't break down, you know? It didn't break down at all.
It never did?
No, not at all. It was like you could throw up against a building and probably put a hole in the in the wall.
Right, like
that's
a rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh.
So, and the other potatoes, they were fine over in the bay. I guess those got, I don't know what happened, but they were both hard as rocks, and I was like, I'm not eating this. I just threw it away. So.
Yeah. Right, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Hard rock potatoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they say the skin of the potatoes, they say the skin on veggies and fruit is good for you. So, you know, I already knew that, but who's going to eat the fruit, the skin of every veg, you know? I like potatoes, the skin off the potatoes. I usually, I try to eat that whole thing. But, you know, it just depends on what, if it's mashed potatoes, then you can't really do that. But yeah, it's, so when I heard the pomegranate lady say that, I thought, yeah, I've heard that before. But the Holy Ghost said, no, this is me talking to you, Randy. I went, oh, okay, that's different. So I didn't mess around with it at all. I thought, for some reason, you know, I jumped right on it right away. I normally don't do that. I'll wait for a few days, and then I was, okay, I'll do it. And so I just jumped right on it, and I'm a real pomegranate person anyway. And my new invention that I have of it, with my little mix I have, I don't have colds anymore. I haven't had colds in you know, years now. Never. And, right. You know, so it's
your immune system
that up. Was – yeah, that told me something was up, you know, about that. Because I always had them. I just knew I was going to have them. And I kept thinking I was going to have them. Well, how come I'm not having a cold? And I realized, oh, my God, it's the pomegranate juice. And then, you know, I've made a little mixture, my own little brew. And so it's, yeah, pretty cool.
That's good. That's a good combination you have. I mean, you have a lot of different stuff you put in there, too. Like I tried to take my nitric oxide and mix it in the other day. With the drink I was drinking and stuff, you know, it's very bitter also, arginine, which is good for your blood vessels, but, you know, it's very bitter.
Yeah.
Very bitter food.
Okay.
But, like I say, bitter the better, but, yeah.
That's what they say. That's what I've never thought about that until I checked into the chocolate thing, because I found that chocolate was really good for you, and I'm thinking, oh, that would be nice. I could have a little chocolate. And they said the bitter the better, so you can't get the tasty kind, but it still tastes good to me. You know, I put it in my coffee. With you know, a lot of things. So.
Oh, okay. So instead of cream, you put chocolate in your coffee.
I put chocolate in my coffee. I buy them, the little round ones. You buy them at Whole Foods. They're 92%. And when I'm making my coffee, I'll stick like 3 or 4 of them, drop them in the coffee pot, stir it around. That's just me. That's what I do. And
okay.
I'm probably
the
only one does that, or maybe I am. I don't know, but.
Yeah, we're creative.
Anyway,
fine with food.
Yeah, I just like to play with stuff. I'm a real scientist, man.
Chocolate in my coffee.
Chocolate in your coffee.
I guess kind of like hot cocoa.
Exactly, because I love hot cocoa, yeah. And so that's what I was kind of thinking. And then I tried to add a little bit of coconut milk in there, you know, and some other stuff, and it just got worse and worse. So I just dropped all that. Anyway, I put the chocolate in there and some other things, and that's about it. Yeah, so what's going on? What do you think about my Indian story and all that stuff? Did you hear any of that stuff?
Yeah, very interesting. I don't know if you, like I said, y'all know you get all out of Texas stuff, but yeah, it was a guy here in South Carolina. He was, I went on this story up, but yeah, your story, I'm going to watch the movie. I haven't got a chance to watch it yet, because I saw that, when you mentioned that, I saw it when it first came out, the previews about it. But I like Westerns anyway. I like Western movies and stuff like that.
The movie you're talking about, The Killers of the Flower Moon. Okay, you're talking
Killers
about
the
Southern movie. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing the preview for that. I remember seeing Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
Is that his name? I'm saying it right.
No.
But yeah,
It's close, though. Leonardo DiCaprio, they changed your name to Leonardo.
Hey. I'll do something. It's not right.
It.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it is Leonardo. It is. I think that's right. Now you got me messed up. I don't even know. Yeah,
oh,
DiCaprio.
He's a painter,
I know that.
Was it Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, that's what it is.
It doesn't
something
sound right.
Hollywood,
doesn't
I don't know. Yeah, so I
yeah,
Hillman,
Robert De Niro,
back.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro. Okay.
De Niro, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. Somebody, Carmen sent it to me to spell it. Yeah. So we are saying it right. Okay, gosh, you know, I got too much in my head right now.
I said Da Vinci.
When you said it sounded weird. I'm going like, I think that's right, but I'm not sure.
I said Da Vinci. I think I was.
I think you said that. Okay, that's what messed me up. Da Vinci. I said, I like that, man. Leonardo Da Vinci. DiCaprio.
I just threw his name up. That was, but yeah.
Love it.
But yeah, so yeah, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna have a day where I know I'm not going nowhere. I'm gonna watch it, you know, without being disturbed. So, yeah, that's very interesting that you say that out of the whole world, you're part of that. You're connected to that family. That's very awesome.
Yeah, the thing is, too, is that I saw it one time. I saw it because I like to watch those kind of movies, too. And then I knew it was kind of partially true, but they were just – even the people who talk about the movie said they were just making it look like it was based from a true story. It wasn't based – it wasn't just kind of based from a true story. It was actually a documentary.
Okay.
And so when I found that out, I went, what? And then the Lord, as everybody knows, the Lord, in case you didn't hear this story, then the Lord spoke to me in the bed. He speaks to me in while I'm sleeping, right? He says, mm-hmm. He gives me the word heirloom.
I heard you tell.
And like an idiot, you know, I don't know how to spell.
Yeah.
Usually when he writes stuff, usually he'll write things out before me because he knows, like, you know, I can spell, but not that great, you know. But I mean, I did graduate from high school and go to college, but duh. So he speaks to me the word heirloom. I'm going, I heard that as clear as a day. Heirloom. Okay. Heirloom.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up, A-I-R-L-O-O-M. And he said, he told me it had to do with the movie. He said, this has to do with the movie. I'm going like, okay, heirloom. Okay. So, you know, I look up heirloom, of course. The only thing I could find was a really nice mattress. It's called heirloom. So I literally took a picture of it on my phone. I still have it on there just for evidence, you know. I have it on my phone still. And I'm thinking, yeah, there's probably something. He's probably trying to tell me something that this lawyer in the family probably has something in his mattress, and God's trying to give me a word of knowledge to go see if I can, you know, hey, man, can I use your bathroom? Like the bathroom in your bedroom? You know, I'm going to tell him, I shut the door and I'm going to look at kind of mattress he's got. And if he got an heirloom, I'm going to like, oh my God, there's something in there. But how am I going to look without him knowing it, you know? And so,
right.
Of course, that wasn't it because the Lord says, you're spelling it wrong. I'm going like, thanks a lot, you didn't spell it. So I realized it was H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M. And when he gave me
right.
that word, and I watched it the next time, I bought the movie so I could take my time, and I watched it that time, and the Holy Ghost just goes, you know, Osage, because when they talk about the Osage, I didn't even connect it to, that's a word used in my family. My grandmother used the word Osage, and, you know, when I was a kid, I remembered it. I never knew what it meant, but I remembered that word Osage, you know. So she would talk about the wagon days when they traveled, and, you know, and I'd sit at her feet as a five-year-old kid remembering those stories. I never forget them. And
right.
So all of a sudden, anyway, all of a sudden, and then my dad telling me about the oil and show me the document that he had actual documentation, but they'd so buried it, as we find it in the movie, they knew how to bury things really well and try to do away with it where you can't find
right.
it, where you can't do it. And my dad said that we have documented proof that my great-great-grandfather on my granny's side, my granny's side of the family, actually landed on that property and got that property, that particular property, you know, one that had
right.
several big oil wells on it. I'm going like, Dad, really? Yeah. He said, here's the paperwork. I feel like somehow he didn't tell me this, that God was going to use me. He was kind of looked at me like, my dad's a very somber, sober man. He doesn't do things lightly. For him to show me that was, he said, it was like sacred to him, you know, like, okay, you know, I'm going to show this to you. This is a big family thing. And I don't know, he felt like I was going to be able to do something with it, you know. And he asked me, can you think you could do something with this? Because he knew that I knew people, you know, he knew that I knew some people that I don't even talk about, some of the people that I know, that I knew people, and he knew I knew them. And I don't know what he was thinking. But so anyway, long story short, the family lawyer in the family ended up getting those papers, and we'd have no specific detailed proof of it, but all of a sudden he got a big batch of money, this guy, and those papers disappeared because my dad called me, literally, my dad, and Christ alone, my dad called me up. He was, I could tell he was upset. My dad's a very, you know, he doesn't accuse people. He's very careful with his words. He's always been a very, you know, good man. And he called me up, and I could tell he was hurt. I was thinking, like, what's wrong with him? He says, Randy, did you take those papers from the house? You know, I said, what papers? He said, you know, the ones with the documentation. I said, of the oil. I said, no, Dad. You know, I'm thinking, why would I take that? I didn't know what to do with it, you know? And so what kind of find out that he called me back later and he says, have you seen the lawyer in the family? I said, no. I haven't. I said, why? You can't find him? He said, no, he's disappeared. I can't find him. And so my dad had figured out that he got the papers because my dad showed them to him because he's an attorney, right? A family attorney, a Chandler family attorney. So he could go in there and he could do the research and, you know, start looking up stuff because he had the legal right to do it. He's an attorney. He knew how to do it. You know, that's, attorneys learn how to do all this stuff. And so anyway, and so that movie put all that together to the point where I was flipping out. I'm going like, oh my God, they're talking about my family there. And I just like, it blew me away. And then the fact that the third degree Masons and all the stuff I've been talking about the Masons for the last few months, I think some people kind of quit watching, coming to PGN because they thought I was kind of like getting way out there, literally. And I felt like it too sometimes, like, God, I can't believe I'm talking about the Masons coming after me. You're like, well, this is crazy. And kind of find out in the movie, which is documented, that's exactly what they were doing. It was a third 32nd degree Mason who did all this stuff. He orchestrated it, had them murdered, and was sent to prison for like 15, 16 years or 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my family. That was all me, you know, all of a sudden.
So
I said, oh, my God.
The family lawyer, you all never talked to him again, the family lawyer?
I can't talk about that.
Oh,
well, I'm
okay.
Not going to go there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say
okay,
I can't go there because I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to expose this person.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to tell a story. And I'm not saying you are either. I'm not saying you are either. I'm just trying to say I have to be careful what I say. I've said a lot. Most people who kept up with me think they know who it is, and they're probably right. But I can't confirm any of that. I'm not going to confirm any of that because it's there's a reason I can't confirm it. Because this, when I shared this publicly about this attorney, and everybody in the family knows who that attorney is, if they listen to my show, they know exactly what I'm talking about and who I'm talking about. And believe me, I'm going to tell you something. That stirs up hell.
Yeah.
Because I'm making this public. And the weird thing about it, the crazy thing about it is all in a movie that came out that when I first saw it, I never even thought anything about it being, you know, I don't even remember the part about the 32nd degree Mason when I first saw the movie. I didn't remember that. I'm going like.
It came out last year, right, the movie? Is it 2023, right?
I think it, yes, last year, right, last year.
Right.
2023.
Yeah, I remember seeing the scenes of it.
Yeah, and it's
wow.
a documentary from a guy who wrote the book. All of it was done research, and everything he did was through interviews and through documents, you know. Yeah, the whole thing, it was highly researched. And, you know, when I saw that, and there's some things I can't even talk about it right now. I want to talk about it, but I have to be really careful because, not because I'm afraid. It has nothing to do with being afraid that somebody's going to try to mess with me because I don't even give a rip about that. I'm protected. I know I'm protected. God's proven it to me over and over again because of my calling. And so that's not even a flinch. I don't even flinch at that right now. It's a completely different thing. So I have to do things lawfully with God when I talk about them. And so the reason I don't mention names, which I could, I could tell you everything. I could say everything about it. But for the purposes of standing before God, I can't say much more than what I've said about all the situation. So if you ask me if I've talked to him since then, I'm not going to answer that. Sorry.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Have I talked
yeah.
to him? Well, I would like to go there.
Right. Wow. That's quite a story. Quite a story.
Yep. Mm. It is. Believe me, I'm just telling the parts that I can because if I told the whole thing, you know, and I would love for
the
hell.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would love for the hell to break loose. I'm a hell chaser. As far as you know, I'm not afraid of it. You know, I used to be a little bit, but God has proven Himself to me over and over again in the last few years. About some things that have gone on some high level. Activity that's going on, and now the movie even confirmed that the Mason thing. I would have never dreamed that the Masons had anything to do with what I was going through the last 5 years. I would have never even thought about that. That was not even a thought in my head until one night, Jeff from Colorado, who's familiar with this, the cult and different things, he was happening to be listening. He said, "Randy, that sounds like the Masons." I said, well, "You know, I'm thinking like what?" Yeah, he said, "Like that's what the Masons do." I go, and so I got him on private line, and I don't remember exactly what I told him, but I told him things I think I haven't told anybody. And he said, "Yep, that's them." God, you got to be kidding me! The Masons? No. And then it made sense of who my Julie's father. You know, and the whole things that he did, and all the rumors about him, about having, you know, connections with judges, and how he was, you know, in high level places. And I just kind of like, I never even thought a thing about it. You know, it's like, okay, so what? You know, like, cool, really awesome. And so,
right.
You know, yeah. And then when he said he was a very powerful man, I'm going like, why did he even say that? I never even put any of that together, none of it together, until all of it one day just boom, 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 boom. And now it's like, I'm over here in a whole other world right now, going like the mantle of
the
oh
right.
My God. And it's just getting, when I declared war on November the 16th right here on the show, and then that's when Blog Talk went weird for a couple of weeks. Remember that? November the 16th,
yeah.
I declared war on the whore, that Revelation 18,
yeah.
You know, on the system. I declared war on the system, literally. I knew that what was coming out of my mouth was more than what, you know, I would never do that without God's approval. Yet it was very prophetic and very random and very spontaneous. And when I heard all that stuff come out of me, I'm going like, God, what are you up to now? And then just a few weeks after that is when all this broke loose. And then I got opened up in January, the first day of January, with coming on the show with the revelation of the whole thing because of the movie. And the word of knowledge I got about heirloom meaning, you know, it's my heritage. I would have never connected that at all had God not supernaturally spoken to me the word heirloom, which I thought was a mattress. So that just shows you in the prophet room, it's not always perfect. You know, God like, hey, boy, you know, you're spelling it wrong, man. Come on, Chandler. I thought you knew heirloom, what heirloom meant. I'm going, hey, Doug, God, you know, I don't think about heirloom. What's an heirloom? It's a mattress. For crying out loud. No, it's not.
That's funny.
Went, okay, give me a break. It's kind of like, you know,
well,
he was probably,
you know,
laughing about it. Now I know.
Yeah,
he probably got a kick out of that.
The first time it was funny, I was like, that was quite funny. Yeah. That's
yeah.
That's
I'm thinking, man, I'm hot
there.
On the trail, man. I'm like a dog. I used to go hunt and take my dogs hunting with me. They could find birds when nobody can see. I said, I'm hot on the trail now. I got this sucker. It's in his mattress. I'm coming over there. You better get ready because I'm coming to look in the mattress, man. Yeah, the heirloom mattress that you probably got one over there. I don't know if you got one, but I'm coming checking. That's what I'm thinking, you know. I thought that was God was showing me.
Imagine
he
cut his mattress up, Randy.
Yeah, I was already planning on how can I find out, you know, what's in that mattress without cutting it up.
All fellas would have been flying.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing, man, Randy?
Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. I just, you know, had a little diarrhea. I'll be out in a minute. You don't want to come here because it smells really bad. Now, hang on, just give me a little while. I'll you know, but no, I already had it all. You know, I was already planning. Like, how can I do this? You know, and then that's when the Lord saved me from going too far with it. He said, no, you're spelling it wrong. Like, he didn't even spell it for me. He said, how is it for heirloom? I said, I don't know. You know, okay. Oh my God. H-E-I-R. Gotcha, Jesus. Sorry. And then I got on the real trail, and then when I watched that movie after that, my eyes were open. A word of knowledge will open your eyes. A word of knowledge will open your eyes to something. You don't even know. It didn't seem like it would, but it does.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything connected. And then the 32nd degree Mason thing, I never even paid attention to that when I watched the movie for the first time. I don't even remember that being in. I think they must have added that later or something. I don't remember even seeing it. And then
okay.
I went through the fine-tooth comb. I'm going like, oh, my God, a 32nd degree Mason with all the crap I've been going through with what I thought was a Mason, you know, coming down on me, trying to mess me up physically. This is crazy. And there it was, exposed right there before God and everybody on a movie with Leonardo da Vinci, I mean DiCaprio, and Robert De Niro.
Wow.
It's amazing, man.
That is.
Like they made that movie is. Just for me, it seems like. I don't know. Anyway.
Hmm?
I'm sorry, I get excited.
Yeah. So when you say you're Indian, you're part, you said Saga? Saga Indian? You're Indian. I thought you said
somebody. Yeah, well, that, my dad, like, I got more of my mom's side of the family because I have hair on my chest, you know. My dad was he didn't have one hair on his. I mean, my dad might have had one hair on his chest, one maybe. I don't. I think it fell out, but he was slick, man. He was slick, like, you know, Indians just are basically, you know. So. So my dad, I sent out some pictures of my dad. He looked like an Indian. He looked more like an Indian than I do. But yeah, it's in my blood. I've never had a blood test to see what's there, but I probably should now.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not really interested in going after the oil. I mean, if God had me do that, that would be. I don't have time for that. So if God does that, it'll have to be, you know, I mean, I'm not really, to me, all this thing of the movie meant one thing to me personally, and that is my mantle, the mantle God gave me when the angel showed up and said there's a massive merger coming in January 11, 2005, and that mantle came on me that was, you know, that dove into the financial supernatural market, the market realm supernaturally. You know, I mean, that's all been documented and proven by well-known people. It's not just me saying
right.
it. They watched right. it happen. So it's a documented fact. And to me, it just confirmed that was in my bloodline because the Indians that Mason guy was taking down and Robin, which are my family, they were per capita the richest people in the world. In the world, not the United States. I thought it was the United States at first. And I listened to it again, and it's they were per capita the richest people on earth because of that oil they had.
Yeah.
So that's what it proved to me was that God was mainly trying to show me. He said, Randy, the mantle I put on you, it was in your bloodline, you know, and I just activated it when you got born again. So anyway, there you go.
That's awesome. You got quite a history. At least you can trace it, you know. Everybody can trace their history. But that's
good. And the way I look at it is like in the Bible, when you read the Bible and in the Old Testament too, they'll go from Billy Bob begat Billy Bob Jr. Billy Bob Jr.
Right.
begat Billy Bob Sr. You know, and they go, and they don't really tell you, so they couldn't check your blood back then, right? So how did they go? By birth certificates.
Right.
So somebody was asking me, you need to get your blood, you know, checked. I said, well, you know, and the first thing I thought about was, well, that's true. That would be a good thing to do. But in the Bible, everything was proven by who begat who, not they didn't have anything to check your bloodline. Back in the
right.
day, that's how they proved it legally. And so I'm thinking like, you know, whether my blood is perfectly, you know, Osage or not, doesn't even make any difference. As far as that goes, it's really more of a thing of, you know, my grandmother, my great grandfather who bought the property back then, you know, begat my grandmother, who begat my granny, who begat my daddy, who begat me, you know, basically.
Right.
Yeah, and my dad had all the documentation. I mean, they gathered that together. My granny's side of the family. My dad's mother's side of the family, not his father, but his mother, was the side of the family that all happened to. And she's the one who used to tell me wagon stories when I was a kid, covered wagon stories, and talk about Osage, and I didn't even know what Osage was, you know, back then.
Right.
So that's when all this came to light. I go, oh, yeah, I knew that name sounded familiar, Osage. That's like, what is that? What is that? Oh, my God.
Wow.
You know, so I realized all of it. Yeah. Very, very.
All right, go ahead. I mean, cut you off.
No, that's basically it.
I was just saying that when you say you all were the richest, or they were the richest, like, is there a certain, like, land, like, that, like, the half state of Texas, or is that? Oh, okay.
That's Oklahoma. It's Oklahoma. You need to see the movie, yeah. what happened is they you know, it opens just the movie. And you have to realize when you watch this movie, this isn't just hearsay or just a movie. It's documented from a guy who documented it legally. I mean,
right.
He did interviews for years with the Osage Indians. He documented everything, you know, and testimonies, the legal documents, the whole thing. He writes that movie. And so the movie is really a documentation. And so when it says, when it opens up the movie's talking about, you know, the Indians, and they look like the Indians, they act like Indians, and the white men are showing up, you know. Sorry, white dudes. I mean, and so they're showing up, and they're shaking hands with the Indians because they're coming in, you know, and making deals and trying to, you know, make deals with, you know, to buy the oil, and like Chevron, and I don't remember all the name of the companies.
Oh,
but,
okay, that's
where
the oil is.
Yeah, where the oil is. They're coming to make deals with the Indians. And so it opens up the movie saying that, because the government trying to get rid of the Indians, right? That's why they're out in Oklahoma. They put them in Oklahoma because
right.
Oklahoma's like, I guess not much going on out in Oklahoma. So they put them out in Oklahoma, you know, to kind of get rid of them. Well, kind of find out, well, they got them on oil land, you know. And so it says that the Osage Indians were the richest people per capita in the world because of the oil from those oil properties in Oklahoma. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely watch that. That take place like in the 1800s or 1900s, or you don't know what year
18 and 19. Let's see, I think it's 1900s. I think they arrested him, that guy, and put him in prison. The guy who had the Osage Indians killed little by little, the 32nd degree Mason, who was killing them.
Mm-hmm.
They put him in prison in 1929. So it took him a few years to prove it because the FBI, Herbert Hoover, who was trying to make the FBI look good, sends one of his guys down there, and one of his guys was really good at what he did, even though he wasn't a real smart guy. He was really good at putting things together and, you know, researching things. And he busted them, literally. Had all the evidence, everything. Took him to, you know, he spent years in prison because that FBI agent showed up and, I've come here to find out who's killing all these Indians. And, brother, he did.
Okay.
That's history.
Wow.
That is history now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were, like I say, the richest people per capita of the world. Yeah, the movie opens up with that. You'll see it when you watch it.
Yeah. Definitely going to watch it. Yeah, I got it on Amazon. I think I looked on Amazon. Somewhere else they had it.
Amazon, yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I bought it from Amazon because I wanted to go through with a fine-tooth comb. I knew if I just rented it, I wouldn't be... Yeah, I bought it from Amazon, and then I watched it through VidAngel. I don't think it's really nasty or bad. I don't think it's any really – I don't know. I watched VidAngel, too, just to make sure. And, because VidAngel cleans everything up. But it's not really a bad movie. I can't remember what it's even rated. But yeah, it's definitely something that people are now going to – do something with it, I believe. The fact that God did that with me, and here I am about to deal with Israel and some things that are going on with that and some other things that I can't really talk about yet. And things are being set up. Things are being set up. Things are being set up. That's all I can say.
Right.
And it's... So it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, it is.
Anything else you want to say? I'm going to try to move on to another call. So somebody else might want to say something about it.
No, if you could just pray over me, Randy, I would appreciate it. And that will be to what God is saying to me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, enjoyed it. Thank you so much, too. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Angela. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're giving her an anchor, like an anchor. God's going to give you something to anchor yourself with. I don't know what the anchor would be for. I know you're anchored in Jesus. You know, if you're born again and another word of God, you're anchored in that. Just having Christ as your Savior and Lord is anchored. But there's something about he's going to give you some anchor information or something to anchor you in some things. Maybe some things you're not sure about, like with me, like There's a lot of things I'm not sure about. In life, there's a lot of things we're not sure about, right? This, that, what's going on? What's that really up with that? You know, like with this thing with my, you know, the reason that we know there's something to this property that the OCD Indians had, that my family law attorney went down. So they paid him off a pretty good batch of money, which I didn't even know I didn't even know he had done that, right? I didn't even know he had gone look at the paperwork. My dad didn't tell me. Yeah, the lawyer, family lawyer, came by and looked. He didn't tell me that. Was none of my business, right? I guess I didn't even know he'd looked at it. And then all of a sudden, my dad's calling me saying, "Did you take that paperwork?" I said, "I didn't take any paperwork." And I think he believed me. And then he starts doing a little more research and found out that the family lawyer he had invited in to do that. And so I'm going like, hey, but I never found out anything else about it until I, you know, go meet up with him, and he's all of a sudden out of the blue, because we're talking about anchoring something, out of the blue, you know, I don't know if he's feeling guilty, I don't know what's going on. He's like saying, yeah, well, the reason that I had all that money, the reason I was able to pay off this and have the money to pay off that, it was like, you know, a pretty good little batch of money. But because he tried to explain to me, I think, why is he trying to explain this to me? I don't understand what kind of, it's not my business. I don't really care, you know. I'm not here for and so the Holy Spirit was exposing things. And so then, you know, then there's some things I can't talk about, but it all kind of started, you know, it started piecing together. Like, why is he talking about that? Why is he talking about, you know, that much, he didn't tell me exactly the amount, but it was a good batch because I know what he owed. And, you know, so it's like, that's really weird. So it anchored me. So I'm trying to tell you is that this movie thing and all the word of knowledge anchored me in, and with the Mason thing, you know, I was like, is that really true? Can that really be true? It sure looks true. It sure looks right. The evidence seems to be really point to it big time. But is it really, really true? Can I be anchored on that? And so it's like the movie came out and anchored the Mason thing. That coming after me, and realized that they gave it for my family back in the 1900s, 1920s, you know, and trying to kill him, you know, my family lawyer person who, you know, gets paid off a bunch of money, and he disappears and goes, you know, like, you know, where'd he go for all that, those months, you know? Well, we all know now what he was doing. And so, you know, he goes down there and starts digging around. And they bought him off, like they did other attorneys that my family sent. That's why we got to have a family attorney do this, Randy. I'm going, okay, Dad, you know, I'm not a family attorney. You want me to go to law school or something? I can't figure out why he's telling me all this stuff. And so we had, now we have a couple of attorneys in the family, a couple of them. So it anchored me. I got anchored on it. It was amazing. And so God's going to anchor you some things. You can see it happen. All right. Let's go to the next caller here. Somebody. All right. 442-242. Want to talk to your friend, please?
Hello.
Hello.
It's today.
Yeah.
Sandra?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's storming over here, and I'm trying to grab water from leaks and pour out. I hear you now.
Okay. So this Sonia?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, it's girl.
I enjoyed it. I was going to ask you something about the pomegranate since you used the whole thing. Could you put honey in it?
Could I what now?
Did you put honey in it?
No, but that's a good idea. I did think about that. But what I did is I buy pom-pom juice, which is pomegranate juice, the best pomegranate juice you can buy, in my opinion. So I buy a bottle of that, and I put a little bit of that in there. But honey, that's a good idea. I did actually think about that, but I thought, I don't want to ruin the taste, but it'd probably make it taste pretty good.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. But anyway. Yeah,
I'm having a hard time hearing you. Are you talking right into your phone? You don't have me on speakerphone, do you? Because I can't hardly hear you, dear. Sorry.
Can you hear me now?
That's me.
That's better. Yeah, thank you. Sorry.
But I can't hear you without the speaker on.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I enjoyed all that you have talked about, and I'm going, wow. Can you still
what about
hear
this?
Me?
Yes. About the pomegranate or about what are you talking about?
Everything you talked about.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I was like, wow. But, Randy, I need a big, not a tiny. I need a big financial miracle. And I need you to pray for that for me. Please.
You said you need a big financial miracle, or is that what you said?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my sister tonight from Texas, God, Sonia, and I thank you, Lord, for uncovering everything that, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God, and I thank you that you come to bring life and restore life, and once you teach us how to not keep going around the mountain, and we obey you and do what you say and listen to you, because we listen to your voice, that's what keeps us going with the straight and narrow instead of going around mountains, you know, like going around the mountains like Israel
yeah.
did for 40 years. I thank you, Lord, that the body of Christ, you're going to wake us up. You're waking us up. You're waking me up. I mean, I've been awake to, I have a hard time believing, even though I was talked about it, about that the Mason thing was actually, those were really, that's really a Mason thing messed with me. I mean, I believed it more than I just never was really much into that to me, not to me at least, you know, hey, what? And now, you know, so you know, God is waking me up to hone other levels. I knew they're out there. I knew they dealt with, did things that I didn't know what they did. And now when it came to me personally and this, the deal with me personally, I'm going to like, I still had a hard time going like, really? I don't know, man. It can't be the Mason thing. It's really not that, they're not that wicked. They're not that controlling. They're not that crazy. They're not that whatever. I don't know what I, you know, I was just blown away by it. So it, God woke me up.
Randy, I dropped. I didn't hear you.
Okay. All right. So let's, okay. Thank you, Lord, for Sonia tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing to uncover those things, what the enemy has robbed and stolen and taken and kept her. Not only does he steal from us, he keeps us from getting what belongs to us. So I thank you, Lord, that you restore and recover in Jesus' name and bring not only what's been, bring back what's been stolen from her, God, by, you know, people or demonic situations being set up and, you know, people taking advantage to the fact that and then also things that have been stolen, but also that belong to her and need to come to her now. In Jesus' name, I ask you to open that up. I ask you to pour it down on her like rain, God, in Jesus' name, yeah. And bless her. Bless her financially, God. Bless her money realm in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen. And you crown that because about 7 years ago, another man of God said somebody stole an inheritance or whatever from me. They forged my name, and they said it's big time money. But I never got it. And come to find out, I think my sister, my mama done it.
Wow. Yeah, family stuff gets pretty nasty sometimes. I've dealt with some of that myself. I talk about as much of it as I can so I can let people know what goes on without giving too much information away unless God gives me permission. But yeah, it's I'm telling you, the fear of God, that's what I'm talking about tonight, about the Ananias and Sapphira thing, that people just think they can do whatever they want and do it. And church people think they decide that what they're doing is honest, even though if it's not honest, they convince themselves that what they're doing is okay. And really what they're doing is lying and stealing and cheating and would never call it that. And yet God one day says, you didn't lie to me, you lied to God. And all this stuff you're used to doing all the time to other people, it's going to end today. Boom, he was gone, man. And then it said the fear of the Lord hit the church. Yep.
Mm. Wow. Find it out again.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about this stuff with Ananias and Sapphira for years. Kenneth Copeland used to talk about it years ago. I used to watch him a lot. And, so I don't know if stuff like that's happened or not in the church. It probably has. But what I'm hearing the Lord say is that the reason he's going to deal with things so harshly, it's going to appear, is because the hearts of people have gotten so hard that they've justified everything they do with, well, you know, that's just the way God told me or whatever, and just be, you know, lying, basically.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, somebody's saying here, what if the Chandler attorney is listening? I don't know. It doesn't really make any difference. I'm not saying anybody's name. But we got he's not the only Chandler. There's more than one Chandler attorney. So
so
he's probably having a very bad heartburn. Yeah. He's so going to bury his spoils in the backyard. Somebody can find it. Yeah. See, all that does, yeah. To me, when God gets ready to expose something, like he's done through this movie, for me personally, it's a lot of those things were things that I never understood. I knew there's something wrong. I talked about it, there being something wrong. I just did not know exactly what it was. And so I believe the best about people. I don't believe the worst about people. I believe the best about them until they disappoint me time and time and time again. And then after a while, I go like, well, I guess I just can't think the best of them anymore because something's going on. So that's with my family too, you know. Does this lawyer show up at the family reunions? I don't go to family reunions anymore. They've invited me. I just don't go.
Man.
So it just started. Yeah, so I know what I'm doing right now to talk about this stuff is I'm stirring it up. I know that's the only reason I'm doing it publicly is because God has allowed me to do it publicly because he wants them to. The roaches of the situation are going to like be running because the light's coming on about some things. And so I know exactly. Yeah. Believe me, I've kept things secret, private for years that I never told anybody that other people were doing. I never said a word. And then one day God says, I want you to open it up. I want that thing. I'm getting ready to deal with it. I'm going like, okay, whatever you say. So I'm protected. You know, I'm not even, I mean, they, you know, you can't touch me as long as I'm doing what God tells me to do.
That's
right, Sonny, you know that.
Amen. That's right.
Thank God for you talking about the pomegranate too. That's in my eyes. Yeah. Kind of cloudy.
Your eyes.
And I
your
got
eyes
a pomegranate in the refrigerator.
Oh, you do?
I got a whole one in the refrigerator, but I don't think I got a blender. I got a juicer.
A juicer? I don't know if a juicer would. I guess a juicer would do it. I would think a juicer would do it. I don't really know.
It'll
honest
probably
to God,
take
I really
all
don't keep
juice
up with that stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, it might pull all the juice out of it. I said it might pull out the juice out of it and put the seeds on the other side. But you said you
right.
You grind up the seeds too, though, right?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Everything.
Yeah. So I don't. The juicer separates the seeds, so I don't have a blender right now. Yeah. So I can grind it up, put it in, and mix it all up.
Gotcha. Yeah. So obviously I have a blender. I didn't know. Yeah. So
yeah, the juicer
I don't even.
Takes,
I just know that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm finished.
I was just saying that the juicer takes seeds and separates them.
Yeah.
It extracts all of the juice and it gets rid of, it shreds up the peeling. You know how
right.
you bake a cake or cookies, and sometimes it might call for like the orange peel or the lemon peel.
Yeah.
And you take uh-huh. what you would normally do is you take a shredder and shred that peeling off of there. That's kind of how the peeling looks when it comes out of the juicer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all shredded up.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. I just do the whole thing. Yeah, whatever. That's a blender. Yeah, I guess it's a blender. And
I'm gonna get me a blender.
Yeah.
What?
Well, if you think you're gonna be doing it, yeah, I would.
Randy, what time of the year are pomegranates ready?
They out now.
Wait,
I guess they're still out because I just got mine probably a couple of weeks ago.
Got what?
I was telling her I just got my pomegranate probably a couple of weeks ago. She was asking what time of the year.
Yeah, there's different ways you preserve them if you have to. You just have to Google it, like YouTube it, and they show you how to, like sometimes you can, one of the things they tell you, like I do a lot of pomegranate stuff, right? So I buy bunches of them, and then I break the seeds out, and then I put them in a flat pan, and I freeze them, and then I put them in bags. That's how they tell you how to do it, freeze them in a flat pan, you know, spread them all out so they're not stacked on top of each other. And then freeze them like that, and then you put them in a bag after that. So they tell you that they'll last for quite a while with that. But I don't like to freeze stuff if I can help it.
Yeah. Well, we missed that part. How did y'all get on the pomegranate?
What'd she say?
How did y'all get on the pomegranate? She was saying we missed that part. Like, what led up
how did
to
I get
talking
on it?
About the pomegranate? Yes, what led up to
talking
about
the pomegranate? Oh, how did I get on
that? Right.
Right. Several years ago, a doctor that is a doctor for Benny Hinn's doctor, he came out several years ago, talking about it, and he got a business. He had a kind of a selling business he got, trying to get a lot of people involved in. And so that's where I first became aware of pomegranate juice was through him. And then I had some what I thought was kidney stone issues, which I found out really wasn't kidney stone issues. I just needed to drink water. But so somebody turned and said, you need to get pomegranate. So I already knew about the pomegranate that it did that, but I'd forgotten about it, right? So I went and started buying pomegranates. And then as I did that, little by little, I added a little of this, a little of that to it. And pretty soon I wasn't having colds anymore. Hadn't had a cold in 4 or 5 years. And I used to get at least 2 or 3 colds a year, every year. And I don't get sick. I don't really get sick much. I've caught the flu maybe once in 10 years. Had a bad bout of that. But other than that, I just don't. But the colds, I could never conquer the colds. And so did the pomegranate juice completely did away with the colds.
And you know what, Prophet Randy? You know, even Sister Dee told you I had a stroke. Well,
yes.
My left foot and my left arm, they swelled and they got fever in it. And somebody told me use cayenne pepper, which I hated. But now I make a tea with ginger tea, lemon, 2 peppermint, and a pinch of cayenne pepper. And she told me this about 3 or 4 days ago. I don't have any swelling in my foot, and my hands gone down a whole lot.
Wow.
So...
that is awesome. So that's
and if you put honey in it, it tastes pretty good.
It does. I like honey. I'm a honey person. I just went and bought some honey yesterday, some Texas honey, you know, some local honey. Yeah, because I like to have honey and on toast, on gluten-free toast with a little bit of butter on it. Oh, yeah, I love that. Oh, my gosh. When my sweet tooth is acting up, that diet, satisfy it, is a little bit of honey on some toast. And, oh, yeah. So you said that was like lemon. You said lemon and honey and cayenne pepper and what else? I didn't hear all that.
I
hard to hear any.
The box of ginger tea. I know how to make the tea from the real ginger, but I went ahead and got the box of ginger. I got me some lemon, real lemon, and I put maybe 2 or 3 peppermints in there. Of course, this is hot as you can get it. A little bit of honey, because honey's got healing virtue in it anyway. And then I put it, just because I can't take too much hot, I put a little tiny bit of cane in my whole foot. I even wore some boots yesterday, and my foot swelled. And that's the first time I'm able to wear shoes, because, I mean, unless they were real, real large, but every time I put a shoe on, it would swell like I don't know what. But I wore that boot yesterday, and they didn't even swell.
Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah, God has, I think God has given us a lot of those things. I think in the Garden of Eden, God showed us what to eat, keep their bodies strong. And, I'm really into that stuff. So, you said you put cayenne pepper on your feet?
No, I put it in the
drink.
Drink.
In your drink. Okay, in your drink. Okay, that's what I thought you said. Okay. Because I had somebody tell me, LaShawn from Texas said, you can put cayenne pepper on your feet, like to get a little bit of olive oil or something, and put some olive oil on the bottom of your feet, and then put cayenne pepper on there, and it'll draw out pain and stuff.
Yeah.
Because the cayenne pepper is pretty powerful.
I tried that too, but it's better off if I drink it. I try both.
Yeah, I drink it too. Mm-hmm. I drink cayenne pepper myself. Yeah.
Yeah, and it opens up your arteries.
Yep.
And it lowers your blood pressure.
It does. Cayenne pepper will do that for you. Yeah, I'm a big cayenne pepper person. I put a lot of that in my drink that I make. Yeah, that's really great. Yeah, it really opens up your blood vessels.
It does?
It opens up your blood vessels, right.
Amazing.
Pardon me?
I'm really amazed, and I cannot wait to try the pomegranate.
Yeah, I have a hard time hearing you. Okay. Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Somebody says they just made cinnamon. Go ahead.
I can't wait to taste the pomegranate or try the pomegranate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah, people don't realize that the pomegranate, back in the days when Moses had the temple built and then when Solomon built his temple, and even in Jerusalem today, you know, when they build a temple now, they have pictures of pomegranates all through it, because the pomegranate has like a crown on it. It has a crown at the top. You know, it just comes with a crown. And so I think that they put it in the temple, like the priest, before they go into the Holy of Holies, they have on their garments, on the bottom of their bottom, they have a bale and a pomegranate. Then they have pictures of pomegranates engravings of the pomegranate all over the tabernacle. So you got to know that means something. You know what I mean? It's like, how can we just ignore that and think it's just kind of pretty or something, you know? It's very healthy. So That's what one of the things that got me into it was, I said, if it's in the temple, man, it's got to be something about it.
Yes, that's right. But it's up to us to seek after it.
You say it again, please?
It's up to us whether we want the knowledge or not to seek after. Tell me more about this just to me.
You said something about the knowledge to seek after?
Yeah. The knowledge is there, but people don't want to seek after it.
Did you understand,
Arena? Yeah,
she said the knowledge is there. Yeah, but they don't want to seek after it.
Yeah, I think we're blinded that we think that that's just like, oh, they just did that because, you know, it's kind of a cool-looking fruit, has a crown on it. But when you think about the fact that the priest had a pomegranate and a bell as they went into the Holy of Holies, so that you'd have to know that, what are they going to the Holy of Holies for? For cleansing, right? So that tells you, I think that would tell you that pomegranates have some type of, not just symbolic, but literally are cleansers, you know,
yeah.
Because that's what the priest, God had the priest put that on the bottom of their, you know, their garments, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell all the way around it. So it's got to be something.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, so I started literally taking that knowledge literally. And I have other things, too. I'm only, you know, there's only a few things I talk about now, but some of the things, you know, I start taking them literal. Some people here at PGN has turned me on to some things that are in the temple and that are make up the temple foods and different things like that. And I've been doing some of that, too, which has been great. But all this stuff, we're just so super spiritual. We just think that, oh, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to claim that if I need cinnamon, God will put cinnamon in my body. No, just go eat some cinnamon, man. He made the cinnamon, right? He already provided what you need.
Amen.
Like, oh, I'm going to be the Holy Ghost, going to put some cinnamon in my body. I had a lady calling one night, Sonia, a sweet lady. She said, Brother Randy, I'm having trouble with my eyes. I'm getting these little spots, you know, these little floaters in my eyes. And so she was waiting for me to pray for her in Jesus' name, right? Which I did pray for in Jesus' name, but I said, you know what, honey? I said, go down to the store and start buy you some carrots and start eating carrots. She said, what? I said, yeah, you mean literally? I said, yeah, literally. She said, you mean go down and buy some carrots for my eyes? You know, like I was going to pray for her or something. I said, no, I'm going to pray for you, but you got to go down. And what did God provide for the eyes? What was his provision? Carrots is one of them, yeah. So I said, it's God's provision, man. It's right down there. You go down to the store and you buy it. You don't have to believe by faith. Just go down and eat some carrots because that's what I did. I've had floaters too. And every time I don't have my carrots, I start getting floaters again. So I said, just when you eat it, say in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful carrot. And your eyes will be just fine.
And I know this man. He had me drinking carrot juice and put them in those grinders. But believe it or not, that tasted good.
Yeah. Yeah, carrot juice is good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Definitely is. All right, you guys, it's been great tonight. Thanks for calling in. You guys got any prayer requests or anything before I move on here?
You can pray for me. Just pray as you lay it. I got a lot of stuff going on, so.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord, for D. I know your name is Diveta, but D. Thank you, Lord, for D. Thank you, Jesus, for D tonight. God, I thank you for her life. God, I thank you for that. Just like when I gave the lady the information about the carrots, and she was like surprised, like, I thought you're a man of God. I'm going like, yeah, I'm a man of God. I'm a servant of the Lord. But I like to give all the people all the provision that Christ provided.
Yeah.
So it's not just so the information that we get sometimes, we don't just need to, you know, straighten out things spiritually and get our prayer life right. We get our prayer life right, God's going to speak to us. He said, you know, you want to be healthy, eat healthy. You know, it's not going to be perfect. It's not perfect, but it's so you have emotional, you haven't, get your emotions, forgive people, do things. you know, literally go and then, you know, forgive people and literally go and do those things, you know, and then go eat right. Go, what did God provide for our bodies? Figure out what God provided for your brain and eat that. Figure out what God provided for your eyes and eat that. Figure out what God provided for your teeth and eat that. Figure out what God provided for your heart and eat that. Because he's already provided it. It's already provided by God Almighty. Now, Jesus came back. He came to the cross, and he provided us all the spiritual things and forgiveness and all that. But he also, through Christ Jesus, everything, every herb, every carrot, every apple, every pomegranate, he made all that stuff. He provided all of that, not on the cross. He provided all of that through Christ Jesus, through God and the Holy Spirit. When he made the Garden of Eden, when he made the world, he provided everything we needed. And yet we don't look at that as provision. We just look at provision as communion and going to the cross. And thank God it is provision. But the other provision, who made all this stuff for our provision? God did. And so God started opening my eyes saying, Randy, so I thank you, Lord, for D, God, that you will show her all the different ways to activate the provision that you have for us. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Whatever that is, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, whatever it is, sometimes, I have lawyers who, if I need some really good lawyers, I have some who have offered, you know, to be my attorney. But you know what I do? I'm not against attorneys at all. I think attorneys can be good if you got a thing going on. I've told people, get you a good attorney. You know, sometimes God says, don't get an attorney. God has never let me use the attorneys that have offered themselves to me, because you know what? God hasn't told me to use them yet. If I'm not against them, if I need one, God gives me approval, I'll go get me one. Well, I'll call one up and say, you know, you said you would come when I needed you. You know, here I am. I know you're well known. I know you're busy. I know you got, you know, a lot of things going on. But, you know, if God told me I could do that, I would do it. But I don't just run to them when I have a problem. I go to God first, as we all know. We all do that, right? We go to God first. And if God says get a lawyer and you don't get a lawyer, you're disobeying God. If God tells you to not get a lawyer and you get a lawyer, you're disobeying God. So whatever, if he tells you to, if he calls into this show and the Holy Spirit says go eat some carrots, and you say, well, I'm not into carrots. I'm into Jesus' name. Heal me. I'm going like, well, but I believe in Jesus' provision on the cross, Randy. I don't believe in all that other stuff. I said, who made all that stuff for your body, for your eyes, for your kidneys, who made all that? Was that the devil? Who provided, who brought that provision to the earth? God did. Who provided the gold and the silver and the oil and the fish and all the things? Who provided all that? Was that the devil? No. God, Jesus bought it all back on the cross. He didn't just buy back spiritual things. He bought back the gold, the silver. He bought back every fruit and vegetable and every tree. His blood was shed on the cross, and it flowed down into the earth. Why? Because he said, this is my earth. I made these things, not the devil.
Yes.
So, God, I'm asking you to open up these eyes, and whatever area she needs it, whatever you're speaking to her about, that she will hear you, what you say, and obey the voice of the Lord. And when she does that, she will be blessed.
Yes.
And the reason I haven't ever used attorneys in situations is because God never told me I could. He said, I know you got them available to you, Randy, and think, who are you going to trust, me or them? He said, and it's not like he's against them, because God made lawyers too. Lawyers can be really good. They can be a God thing. If God tells me to use one, I would call them right up, and they'll be like, you know, they told me they would. You know, I've done a lot of things for people, and God sent me to do a lot of stuff for people and different things, and so they like me, you know, and so they offer, you know, and I'm just like going, okay, well, I thank you very much. If I need to, if God lets me come get you, I will. If he doesn't, I won't. You know, so, and I think that's the way it is. So. Thank you, Lord, for all the provision that you provided, emotionally, mental, physical, legal, biblical things. All of it. Let Dee and Sonia see those things in a brand new way, like I did. Yeah. I've known the Lord for years. I've studied the Bible for years, but I got way off into the spiritual end of everything and didn't realize that God had provided more. Jesus Christ bought back. He provided his blood, and he bought back everything in the earth that God made for our provision, and yet we don't claim it. We don't claim it because we don't really believe, oh, no, in Jesus' name, no, in Jesus' name. No, in Jesus' name, Jesus came and bought back everything for us because we need it. If we need
Amen.
Gold or silver, if we need apples
yeah.
and pomegranates, we need attorneys, we need legal people. He created legal systems. God, and under the law, back in the day, that the law, God created all the whole legal system way back then. The legal system this day uses the documents that came from Moses on how to set up their laws in their country and how to judge things. That all came from the judge, God Almighty, who set up the legal realm and how to deal with everything. Go back and read in Leviticus and Numbers. You see, God tells you exactly how to deal with somebody who steals your donkey, and then the donkey gets wounded and hurt, and he tells them exactly how to repay that back. How to if somebody takes your coat and he tells them exactly how to deal with people who take your coat, who steal your house, who have sex with your daughter, and how to deal with that, how to fix things and do things. God put it all. He talked to Moses for months, face to face, not just once on the mountain. He talked to him down in the tabernacle, face to face, over and over again, and told him how to deal with every little detail of everything. Everything.
Wow.
And we don't even know
yeah.
it. We just, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. I just pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, what did God provide through Jesus? Everything.
Yes.
Show them, Lord, how to do it in Jesus' name. All right, I'm going to go, you guys. Thank you. I'm having a real trouble with the connection. You guys are like,
thank you.
Not okay, thank
it's
you. I appreciate
bad.
It.
That's why.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm having a really hard time. It's like completely, consistently screeching in my ear as I'm trying to hear you guys. So I apologize that, I don't know, our connection just wasn't that good. So hang on, I'll be right back. Give me just a moment. All right, somebody else wants to talk tonight, get your hand up there. If not, I'll call it an early night tonight. It's almost midnight anyway. You want to share, you want to talk, get that hand up there, and let's visit for a minute. Good to talk to Sonia and Dee tonight. Good to have them on tonight. Dee had a stroke, and she's doing really a lot better, and God's helping her. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Really, really awesome. So if you got some questions, got some answers, whatever, get your hand up there. And I got people text me, so I'm going to try to answer some text real quick, maybe here on the line or publicly here. It's just some guy died. You were talking about some guy that was aggressive. Saw in heaven, thought I heard car accident. It kind of freaked me out because I used to have a fear of dying that way. Thanks to a psychic that I talked to before I was saved. Wow, bless your heart. I just ate cinnamon toast and honey 10 minutes ago. Amen. That's Shannon saying that. Yeah, we do all kinds of things when we get, I did all kinds of things before I got saved. So, yeah, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. And, we're getting things right with God. I'm not sure exactly what you're asking me there, but still didn't respond. All right. Awesome. So really cool tonight. Leonardo DiCaprio, right? That's his name, Leonardo da Vinci. I thought that was funny. That was pretty good. Sounded good to me. I knew that wasn't what it was. I think it's DiCaprio, but I'm not sure. Anyway, cool. All right, you guys. Awesome tonight. And if you want to talk tonight, get the hand up there. Or I'm going to call it a night if you're going to sleep on me, which some people do about this time of the night. I understand. I've been doing book work all weekend long. I literally get so caught up into it, I go for hours. I just get finished something, I think, take a break, and then I need to get this done, and I'll go at it for another, two or three hours. And then I just keep doing that and doing that and doing that until I can't do it anymore, and then I go to sleep. Yep, so that's me. I'm a workaholic. I go at it, and I just don't stop. Yeah, I'm doing all the book work. I'm having fun. I'm not complaining at all. Enjoying myself. So pray for me about it as I do all that.
getting ready to send out y'all's statements for your giving for the year. That's what I'm putting together right now. There's a lot to it. There's a little bit more to it than I realized. I'd never even thought about it before, but it's pretty cool. Julie set it up pretty good. So even though they thought one of the family members, it's a family member thing again, right? One of the family members is going to do it. Because she knew I wasn't going to try to take it on, right? She knew that. So they already had it all set up. One of the family members come in and take it. And I said, nah, you know, I think I'm going to do it. That's really how it happened. And they didn't like it at all. Didn't like it at all. Caused some problems, actually, on the truth. I wish I could tell you all everything. You'd love it, I think. At least you might learn something from it, maybe. Anyway, just like everybody else, I go through stuff just like y'all do. And life can be crazy sometimes. You don't do it somebody wants, and they get mad and throw a fit and go, you know, try to make your life miserable a little bit. All right, will black pepper work on your feet? I don't know. I did try the cayenne pepper thing on my feet because LaShawn came on the show and talked about that. I don't really have any feet problems, but I thought it'd be cool to find out, you know. So I put it on, put some socks on, and walk around all day long with it on me. And I couldn't tell that it really did anything, but I don't have feet problems, right? So, yeah, I don't know. Black pepper the same as cayenne pepper? Could be. But black pepper, I put black pepper and cayenne pepper in my drink that I have. Because I want it hot, man. I want it hot. So, yeah, I put black pepper and cayenne pepper in my stuff. And, yeah, black pepper is really good for you, I think, so I've been told. Well, yeah, I put it in there. All right, good questions. Anybody else got anything you want to say, you want to share? Want to, you know, midnight, I'm getting the midnight 60-second thing left. 60 seconds to midnight. All right. Either you guys aren't listening or you're just too busy or you got anything to say, whatever. You know, I'm a peace-loving man for the most part, right? Until the Holy Spirit says, stick them, boy. And I go like, now? Yeah, stick them now. I'm like, okay. And so, yeah, so that's the way it is. You learn, like David, I talk about David a lot, about how he, even though they came and took his family and his goods, took his military, his friends, families, and their goods, and David, like, you think David would just automatically go after it, right? He didn't ask the Lord, do I go? God said, you know, the priest said that, it said, yeah, get to go on that. He goes after it, man. That's the way I try to learn to live my life, is I don't just go after something because it's mine. Just ask the Lord, you want me to do that or not? You know, when I get to go, man, here we go. Here we go. When he says go to war, prophetically speaking, that's a done deal, in my opinion. So, not about physical stuff, not about swords and, you know, guns. I have my dad's gun, shotgun, gave me years ago. I don't even have any bullets for it. I never went and bought any. It's my dad's, you know. That was my inheritance. That's what I got from my inheritance. My dad's, I think it's an 18-gauge shotgun, but, that was it, but all right, y'all. I guess that's it for tonight. All right, y'all. Nobody's raising their hands, so I'm going to call it a night tonight. I'm going to move on. Pray for me. I'm going to probably be doing book work when I get off the show tonight because I got a lot to do. So I almost didn't do the show tonight because I wanted to do book work, but I'm not going to do that. I like to share stuff. I like to get on here and talk to people and find out what's going on. So, all right, pray for me as I get all that done. I'm having fun. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hours. But I feel blessed. I'm glad I didn't let anybody else do it. So, yeah. Those family members can be, doesn't exactly work out. Right, y'all know about that. All right, y'all. Good night, everybody. Hasta la vista. See you tomorrow. Thank you.